plays hardball. That's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. Got the leather, got the lumber. He's a true all-star. A permanent pirate in his muscle car. He's always playing hardball. That's my Mike.
He's always playing hardball.
That's my Mike. I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
Ball with the big boys makes him all cocky. Mike holds his own because he's short, but he's stocky. He's got an attitude bordering on bratitude.
Mike's got an attitude. Give the guy some latitude.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike. Mike doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
He doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
He asked me to dance, but I sat it out. Mike got the hint and he spat it out. He doesn't chew because I asked him not to.
Mike doesn't chew because it's what you asked him not to do.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
We like Mike. What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while. I like Mike.
Ball player boyfriend.
I like Mike. What's not to like?
Permanent pirate.
That's my Mike.
Muscle car all-star.
What's not to like?
Bat it out.
I like Mike.
Ball player boyfriend.
What's not to like?
Boy player ball friend.
That's my Mike.
Ball player boyfriend.
What's not to like?
He's the best darn thing to come down the pike in a good long while.
I like Mike.
And you're listening to KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston.
Smack them Christians down. Roll up the Bill of Rights and whap, whap, whap them on. my gonadicles
and my cadenza.
I wish them whacked out Christian fools would learn from history.
Instead of trying to foist their bonehead rules on Moes like me, if you want to live in a theocracy, maybe you ought to move to Saudi Arabia. Is the U.S. government Islamic?
No.
Is it Buddhist?
No.
Hindu?
No.
Jewish?
No.
Catholic?
No.
Is the U.S. government Christian?
Warning. The following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as first-class citizens, deserving of an equal share of the American dream. Topics like this are known to piss off televangelists, backwater preachers, some talk show hosts, blue-haired biddies, several members of Congress, and other socially unacceptable outcasts like radical right-wing nut jobs. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
You have tuned into After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, a continuing tradition here on KPFT 90.1 FM. The crew of After Hours is ready to bring you news, interviews, discussions, and music geared to the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender community and our allies. We are a diverse group here, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and urge everyone to come out of his or her closet as well. That means recognizing who you are, standing up for yourself and your rights, and being proud of who you are. We understand that this might not be possible due to age, job, or frame of mind, but remember, we are here especially for you. So kick back and relax and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours.
Hello, Houston, Galveston, and the world. This is the 28th of August edition of After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. My name is Chris Harrison. I'll be your co-executive producer for this evening.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the longest-running co-producer of this show.
And I'm Wes Laverne, the newest co-producer of this show with a bleeding headache.
With a what?
Bleeding headache.
Oh, well.
Starting at the base of my neck and everything. It hurts.
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's just been a long day.
You saw Mikey earlier?
In the dark corners.
Oh.
I wasn't sitting in a dark corner. I was sitting in a dark
yes.
Very large open space.
Uh-huh. And what were you doing in this very large dark open space?
Talking, drinking, fondling a few people.
Oh, good for you. I'm proud of you.
I try.
Yes.
I try to make everyone so proud of me.
He's very trying.
I love when my children walk in my footsteps.
or kneel in your neoprens.
Yeah, that too. That too.
I think it's more like his butt prints.
Okay. Are you going to go get... okay, thank you.
Red.
Yes. Red. Big. Tall.
Okay.
Tall.
You want a big red one?
I want a big red one.
Oh, my.
Okay, call Virgin in.
I said a big red one. No, I don't. I really don't like big ones. Anyway, how was everyone's week?
Long and stupid.
Well.
But sometimes long and stupid could be fun.
Not in this case.
You got to train them a little, but...
Oh. No, not considering I had stupid times 60.
Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. Yelled at the boss. Had a Hitchcockian moment.
I see. Did it work?
No, yelling at him never works there, but no, a Hitchcockian moment was earlier in the week.
These are two different things.
Two different things, yeah.
Oh.
I pulled into work, my parking space, and look over, and all of a sudden, I see all these birds sitting on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And they like back there because there's a dumpster with pizza in it.
Oh.
And then all of a sudden, 3 dozen of them or so came right at me.
Ah, so you were living the birds all over again, were you?
So I'm sitting there in my car, and one was just dead on... heat-seeking right at me.
Did you have pizza breath or something?
I was still in my car.
Oh.
They come at me. I honked my horn a couple of times. They all ran away, and I flew away, and I got inside the building. I told everyone, they were like, kidding me. And when I went out for lunch, I said, come here, look. And they're all hiding under my car.
They were waiting for you to come back.
See, they now know that Chris will feed the birds. He dusts himself off after lunch, and all the crumbs fall under the car.
No, see, I'm going to get in trouble there for knocking out the... There's a group that comes over and feeds the feral cats that live out by where I work.
Mm-hmm.
And I got in trouble for dumping their food. And it's like, let them eat the damn birds that keep crapping on my car.
Yes. Oh, so the birds are pissed at you.
I guess.
That's
okay. What it sounds like.
Revenge.
And who thought birds didn't think much?
Well, I'm experienced with the bird brains I work with.
Oh, well.
But no, they were... So how was your week?
Well, it was long, but let's see. Judy and I went to the Muffin Man tonight.
Oh.
That new place?
Yes.
Over on Crocker and Fairview.
You know the Muffin Man?
I do now. I got to meet him. It's a fun little place. It's a little mom and pop. Actually, it's not a mom and pop. It's a son kind of restaurant. And mom and pop kind of help him out.
It's my kind of place. He does the cooking and all this kind of stuff and schmoozes with everybody in the house. And mom and dad do the yard work and clean up the dishes.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah, according to the ad I saw there, he's the 7th hottest guy in Houston.
What?
Ew.
Really,
he's
now?
He's pretty cute.
I would have made him maybe 17th or 18th.
Yeah, yeah. He was telling us
soup.
About the soup that he brought.
Yeah, he brought in the tortilla soup one night. It's like,
yeah, that soup I didn't get any of?
Yeah, we complained bitterly about that, too.
He said next time he'll mention us in here before he drops it off.
Yeah.
I had soup.
Mmm.
Again, the soup I didn't get any of.
You had two boys out there that were scarfing down a couple bowls each there. I believe you should speak to them.
They better be listening and hearing.
No one
the
out
disdain.
There is listening to this damn show.
Oh, ouch. You're right.
One of them should be in here sitting with me because he wants to learn more.
Oh.
The only people listening...
So why would he be sitting with you?
Oh. Okay, that's
okay,
the end of your mic. Too bad.
I mean, come on. The only people listening to our show is the
Never
prisoners.
Piss off the engineer.
And
you know I love you.
Jim.
What?
Jim.
Crawford?
No. Our listener, Jim, that we keep running into in bars.
Oh. He was here?
No, I ran into him over at the Ripcord.
Oh, how's he doing?
He's doing fine. He's been
listening to us for years.
Yeah, he walked by and goes, I recognize that voice.
Uh-huh.
Most people say that about
us. I was in the dog, because I was working in the doghouse.
Ah, yes.
Told ya.
Big Men's Club was in the doghouse on every, what, fourth Saturday?
Yeah, the fourth. It was hot in there.
No one was at the bar. I'll bet it was.
Yeah. So I think everyone's still getting back over from EJ's.
Okay. You're making noise with your
envelopes. Sorry.
His mic's off anyway, so it's not making any noise
on
there.
Let's see. What else happened? Judy?
Oh, well, I don't know. You talked to your attorney again?
let's not even go through that. Yes.
You went and saw a beautiful...
everything's on hold.
I can't talk about Brandon, can I?
Everything's on hold until the estate settles.
Except Brandon.
I saw Brandon, yes.
Oh, yeah. So Jimmy drools when he sees Brandon.
This man who's going to clean our place in assless chaps.
No, that's how he's coming to the open house. I think he's going to wear his jeans to clean.
I think he wants it the other way around.
I don't think there's a pair that can cover that ass.
Oh, goodness.
You know, I have to say, he doesn't really appeal to me at all, other than he's just a really great guy, but I tend to drool around him, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's a rare thing for me around a man.
Yeah.
But at your age, it's more expected.
Oh!
Yeah,
he's sweet.
You know,
he's
as sweet as he is beautiful.
With a body to die for.
I know. He was down on his hands and knees when we got there tonight.
God.
And Jimmy, I just had to hold him back.
I like him on there.
I couldn't talk. My tongue was so hard.
That doesn't surprise me.
I know.
Me either. Didn't surprise him either.
Speaking of hard tongues, I wanted to give a shout out to all of our MBBs.
Can I turn his mic back?
Especially,
yeah, it's already on.
Especially Daryl. And I want to mention that I finally got all those pictures from three different MBBs, got Judy to scan them. You haven't sent them to me, though, have you?
No.
Okay.
I haven't sized them yet.
Okay. Got Judy to scan them, and so I'll be returning them because they all wanted their pictures back.
There Jimmy, can we mail pins?
No.
That's too bad because I really need the big point pin.
We cannot do that.
You can get them in the commissary, shall we?
No. No.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have to get it at the commissary, or I don't know how it works. It depends on each different prison. Some of them are allowed pens. Some can only borrow them for a certain amount of time because a pen can be used as a weapon.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, you see, I have old eyes, and some of these are young pens.
Yeah.
Yes.
And some of them are just look like they've been written with chickens.
Yeah.
No.
And we have six letters tonight, I hear.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Two of them from same person.
Oh, good. Good, good, good. Let's see. What kind of show do we have tonight?
Well, considering it's all changed since I last thought here, we've got, supposedly coming in here tonight, Thunderclap, a new writers group that's doing a 4-1 act play on about Hurricane Ike.
Oh!
Which is the return of Lisa from Hot and Bothered.
Oh!
Get that magic dump finger ready, Wes.
It's already ready.
I told her you were doing push-ups, one-fingered push-ups there, getting ready to hit that button.
No kidding.
Is she here already?
No.
Are we going to say some words we still can't say over the air now?
No, we're not.
Probably.
Not the plan.
No, we are not.
We've got...
Okay, are we going to use Wes to keep us from saying words we're not supposed to be saying?
Well, we're not going to be saying any of them. It's Lisa that we have to worry about.
We have the one-word rule. She's out after the first one.
There's one of us has to stay outside of the studio so they can claim ignorance of what was going on.
Yeah.
You mean there has to be one of us left for the show next week in case the rest of us get arrested?
No, it never hurts. Gigi's here.
Gigi is here with NLA.
And then we've got the infamous round table.
We do.
Two words for you, ladies and gentlemen. Amish bestiality.
God.
If that doesn't keep you till 4 a.m., I don't know what will.
Oh,
I don't know either.
Oh, my God. That's nasty.
I'm not sure it'll keep me till 12:25.
Nay, it's not.
So, why don't we just go right into community events, then?
All right. But one thing I want to say is, music we start off the show with was Jay Spears.
Yeah.
The featured music of the week.
Which is our double shot featured video of the week. I was looking through, I was going to do Romanowski and Phillips, and didn't really find what I was looking for on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a comment on one of Ron Romanowski's videos from Jay Spears.
Oh.
So I went over to his YouTube channel and found the second song that we played, Smack Them Christians Down. And I almost put that up. But
however,
but when I started getting through the video towards the end, it was like,
oh no,
oh yeah, it's some imagery may cause people to
cringe,
piss and moan and cry.
Okay,
and you know, I'm not really that into much into Glenn Beck to have him talking about me on his show. Although it would have been a perfect play for him.
Well.
Okay, yeah, there's a problem with pissing, moaning, and crying on this show because...
Well, no, about us. You know, I was okay with the evangelical preacher in the harness getting spanked by the cute guy in the leather outfit.
Yeah, that was quite amusing.
Yeah, that was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, when they started doing... When all of a sudden the swastikas and brown shirts appeared, it was like, let's
not go there.
Yeah, so yeah. I found a safer one there. It's one of Jimmy's favorite songs, I Like Mine.
My all-time favorite.
So there's a music video to it.
I know.
And so I didn't know that, so I was clicking on through there, because it's one of the things we're doing now on the Facebook page, facebook.com/afterhours.
He's had that out for a long time.
Yeah, it's actually a two-year-old video. But you know, I didn't know that stuff before. I'm trying to find some of the music that we play here on the show and kind of, you know, showcasing it on there. You know, it's all started with posting the Kinsey Sixes song.
BP is Creepy.
BP is Creepy.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of gone on from there. And so if you join up, become a friend of ours, you'll see, you know, get an idea of what's coming up on the show the following night. That'll give you a couple of teasers on roundtable topics on there. And like I said, then it's our video of the week.
Okay. That's Facebook. Facebook.com/afterhours?
Exactly. Yeah, just look for the rainbow-colored logo.
Oh, God, yes.
I'm working on it.
Okay.
I actually spoke to the lady from Illinois to see what it takes to get the pins made. Now we can do it.
Okay, yeah. Good.
Well, speaking of pins, I had a visit with GCAM tonight.
Yes, you did.
You did, yes. Yeah.
Now that you're their new secretary for...
/ historian.
Yes, for...
HCC.
Which is?
The Houston Council Clubs.
Which does?
Oversees Louis.
Okay.
He's done his homework.
Uh-huh. Lots of it.
You're going to be over? I figured you'd be under Louis.
Well,
at Louis.
It depends on
where you see me at Louis.
He inherited...
I inherited a lot.
A lot of
stuff.
Of past pins and T-shirts. And so he put together
books.
A nice... Oh, yes.
Some of the programs. From some of the past Louis.
And he put together a nice little package of them for GCAM.
Oh, well, cool.
Yay.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, I had like 7 years of the last 8 years of the pins that went to GCAM tonight. Mm-hmm. And
you did explain to GCAM how they have to acquire those pins, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, please, we're talking Jimmy here.
GCAM,
where was I? I should have known Jimmy would
this
have been the first
one. This is the pin master general,
absolutely.
Louis.
I am the pin master. I have
a hat.
He has
a hat.
Prove it.
And the knee pads, too.
Yes.
Oh, please tell me you're getting new knee pads for next year.
Honey, well, he probably is getting new knee pads every year. I'm sure he wears
so
them.
I'll give you my
so
knee pads.
Warm.
I only wore them to the revival show.
And we're waiting for you for next April, too.
A lot can happen at a revival show.
That was the GCAM revival show.
Oh, well, nothing happened then.
Excuse me?
You only wore them
on... How do you know? You weren't even there.
You only wore them on stage.
Yeah, because I had to kneel down and had to find some way to get back up, so those kind of helped.
The first time I tried
performing that number there, took about three times to get up, and people told me later, it's like, if you weren't getting up on the third time, we're coming in to help you.
Just be glad that they didn't go for something to assist with. That would have been really bad.
That's why I finally did reach out.
Bring in the crane!
Okay, time for events.
Again?
We never made it the first time.
I know.
Chris is first.
Who the hell's being observant on this show?
Not me.
Stage Door, Inc., Center for Performing Arts and Education. This is the final performance of Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. Tickets are $15. It's going to be on Sunday.
Sunday. You bitch.
at 3 p.m.
I thought Jimmy was actually getting up to go do something.
I was.
Get a cup of coffee or...
I was, and I see that I can't do that.
Couldn't help. That's the only performance left.
Mm.
So we got to see Stage Door, Inc. voted on Click 2 Houston as the best community theater in town.
No kidding.
They won that award.
I swear he's posted that on Facebook about 12 times.
I didn't
times.
Know they had enough friends and stuff at Ballot Box.
Ooh.
Oops.
They're in Pasadena, you know. They brought in farm animals. They count, too.
Okay.
For information.
No, they just hired a little old lady to sit there and just keep clicking.
Come in here, Grandma. Stage Door Inc. is located at Pasadena Town Square Mall. You can find more information at stagedoorinc.com. Also, some hits of their new season. I can't tell you who their opener is.
Because you don't know?
No, they are not allowed to say it until October 20th.
What?
Someone else has the rights to it right now in Houston. So once they get done with that...
Whatever.
It's all propaganda.
Politics.
Season opener to be announced.
Well, that gives the impression that I don't know what it is yet.
No, but if you look at it, it's easy to figure out.
Okay.
Then Over the River Through the Woods is their February to March production. On Golden Pond in April. Noises Off in June. Willy Wonka Jr. in the summer. And looking way forward ahead, the Halloween show next year is the Rocky Horror Show.
Yes.
This year's Halloween show is... mind break.
It's not Rocky Horror?
No, it's...
I have to wait a whole year?
Give this you a reason year, to get up in the morning, year. Honey.
I get that, but I have to wait a
What was the latest
year?
Johnny Depp movie that was...
Edward Scissorhands?
No,
Alice in Wonderland.
No, not that one.
No,
the Barber one.
Total mind fart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. We
know. The two will be a surprise.
We know, with the meat pies and blah, blah, blah. Angela Lansbury, blah, blah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
We got it.
It's probably Mark or Dario on the phone.
We got it.
Calling there. You know, it'll hit me in a little while.
Okay.
He's looking for it.
Okay, whatever.
But the next show out is Proof, starting in a couple of weeks, and they'll be here on the second week of the show.
Yes.
August 29th, which happens to be Sunday.
Sunday.
Grand Duke.
Sweeney Todd.
We got two people calling in, so one's Dario, one's Mark.
Okay. I guess I'll go answer that. Hold on. I'll be right
back. Unless it's on Yahoo Messenger.
Okay.
Grand Duke XXVI Blair Fullerton is hosting Malice in Wonderland show at the BRB, 2400 Brazos.
Mm-hmm.
Showtime is at 7 p.m. The show is definitely not the Alice in Wonderland story you grew up as a kid. Loads of twists and turns from the normal to the ready to be so be ready to be entertained. So watch out for the little white rabbit.
Ooh.
That will
had a bunch of helpers trying to tell trying to give us Sweeney Todd.
Thank you.
Which one was it, Mark or Dario?
No, it was a random
listeners.
Caller.
Oh.
Listeners.
We had three of them that popped up that were trying to help us out.
There's another one.
In fact, here comes another one now.
I know it is. It's what one will leave from stage. We're going, what's that in your hand? Uh-huh. What's that in your hand?
Two.
I almost stood up when she came on the plate. When I went to go see.
What are you talking about?
I forget her name. When we had them on here last time.
Yeah.
One of the ladies from Stage Door kept trying to get us back on track by going, what's that you have in your hand, Chris? All throughout the segment. What's that in your hand, Chris? Trying to... Once again, steer us back to the topic.
Oh.
So I almost did it when she first walked onto stage during and come back to find out. I was by saying, what's that in your hand?
Did you?
No, but I told her the later word. She said, you should have.
Yeah.
I would have told you right back. Where are we? Malice in Wonderland.
That's the one.
On Sunday, August 29th.
Yeah, we already did that.
Grand
Sunday,
Duke.
Sunday.
XXVI.
Mm-hmm. Blair Fullerton.
Okay, here we go. Loads
of
twists.
On great imaginative shows.
Loads of twists and turns from the normal, so be ready to be entertained. Watch out for the little white rabbit, because there'll be things that say, drink me, eat me, and you never know what will turn up when you put on your favorite Alice in Wonderland costume.
Eat me, huh?
Okay, Jimmy, just because this is the BRB doesn't mean you can react Louie there.
Oh, damn.
You'll have to wait until next year.
I hear the event will be emceed by the Red Queen Empress XI, Crystal Ray Lee Love.
Oh, my God.
And the White Queen, Miss Anne Marie Gill.
Well, you're right about that.
And they are sure to need
from
a pig.
From
the under
sublime to the ridiculous.
Is that White Queen or Off-White Queen?
No, she is. Anne Marie is a sweetheart.
And they sure need for a pig under their feet.
I beg your pardon?
Jimmy.
That's Jimmy getting...
I didn't know I was in this show.
Enjoy your week. Let's see. As always, the Rhesus Court events are open to all performers. Benefits Rain Double XVI Charities for Sisters and Montrose Counseling Center with 10% going to Chaos.
Ah, yes.
Bunnies in Heat.
Yes.
Bunnies on the Bayou will host its first Bunnies in Heat event this Sunday.
Sunday.
August 29th from 5 to 9 p.m. over at Crocker Bar.
Wow.
If you enjoy our Easter event, you'll love our Bunnies in Heat.
Mmm.
Donation at the door is requested.
Okay.
Special live performances by Wendy Ho.
Oh. Who's Wendy Ho?
Uh-oh.
Oh.
He's looking at me with these eyes.
You've heard her song before.
What?
That's the one that...
Is that the one you posted last week?
No.
Is this one you can't even say the title?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wendy Ho is the artist who performed the song that Regina did to close out Nothing On But The Radio.
Oh.
You can FCC me in the morning.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, if I remember correctly.
Oh.
Oh, my.
Bunnies in the Heat. Oh, have you ever seen a wet bunny?
Ew.
For our first Bunnies in Heat, we want to get soaking wet. So they've added a dunking booth to cool off some hot bunnies.
Oh, and wait till you see some of the people here.
They're on a 30-minute schedule, starting at 5:30, Jerry Saavedra, Jonathan Starkley, Oscar Velasquez, Fiona Dawson.
I'm going to dunk Fiona.
There'll be a line for that.
Yeah.
From 7 to 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Aerosmith. Manuel Olivio and Vince Flickinger.
Oh, hope they're wearing very little.
Hey, this is the best value you'll get on that street there. Three balls will only cost you $5.
Well, it's been a long time since I've seen someone with three balls.
You met my brother.
Not to say that I know he has three balls.
Now you can get an automatic dunk for $20.
Oh.
All funds will go to the beneficiaries for 2010, which will be announced at a later date.
Automatic dunk for $20.
Automatic dunk. I want to throw that ball. None of this chicken stuff.
Okay.
Houston GLBT Community Center News beginning September 2nd, they'll be launching their Project Empower exercise classes. Exercise program for people living with HIV/AIDS. David Lewis, a personal trainer with more than 10 years experience in working with HIV issues, has created the program, which will be offered every Tuesday and Thursday at noon over at the center. Planning Committee for World AIDS Day will be at the center on September 2nd from 3 to 6 p.m. LGBT Center Awareness Day will be on September 15th. They'll be participating in the national event organized by CenterLink. GCAM hosts a collection at the center. First Saturday Queer Bingo at One's a Meal, the second floor private room at 4:30 on Saturday, September 4th. Monday the 6th, there will be a Center Coming Out group at the center from 7 to 8:30. Tuesday and Thursday, Project Empower once again. For more information, check out HoustonGLBTCommunityCenter.org. Houston GLBT Community Center is located at 3400 Montrose, Suite 207. Park in the parking garage. Why'd you separate the two caucus things?
What?
You gave me one caucus and him the other caucus.
Excuse me?
There was two things from the caucus. I've only got one.
I put them in order as of date.
Where's the other one? Oh, yes. Here it is. I see it.
Okay. Greetings. The Fort Bend LGBT Political Caucus will be hosting its second Happy Hour Social at the Vineyard Wine Bar and Bistro in Sugarland Town Center, 16135 City Walk.
City Walk?
City Walk.
Okay.
This coming Monday, August 30th at 6 p.m. They had a fantastic turnout last time. We got to meet lots of new people. Several candidates stopped by and had a chance to mingle with the crowd and answer questions. Candidates and elected officials are always welcome to and encourage you to attend. They are a nonpartisan organization. Following the happy hour, President Fiona Dawson will be on Queer Voices.
Oh.
Discussing the caucus and many other exciting things. That'll be at from 9 to 11 p.m. on Monday, 31st here on KPFT.
Hmm.
Also, they're looking for people to sign up for the board on that. You can contact them at the center. Hopefully, they got the contact information on there. I know they got Facebook.
Yeah.
And a Yahoo group.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be probably scared to go there, Jimmy, because you'll have to go outside the beltway.
I know, I wouldn't, no.
I know, he'd get lost.
Yeah.
Mr. BRB 2010 Craig Sanford and Miss BRB 2010 Aurora Breyer present That's Just Techie on Friday, September 3rd, 2010 at 10:30 p.m. over at the BRB. This is benefiting PWA Holiday Charities. So come on out and show us how techy you can dress during Trailer Park Trash Night.
Ooh.
Open to all performers. Oh, he's kind of cute. And then speaking of the second political caucus, greetings. Exciting things are underway for the Fort Bend LGBT political caucus. I remember when it was the other way around.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the month of September. First, we will host our inaugural membership drive on Sunday, September 12th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the home of our president, Fiona Dawson.
Just hear this.
Houston Mayor.
This is a different event for them. That's why you put it two items down.
Well, you had it on two different sheets.
Because they're two different events.
Okay.
Alrighty then. Houston Mayor Anise Parker will be making a special appearance and offering words of wisdom support as we embark on this journey. Light refreshments will be provided, and the ticket price also gets you a 1 year as a voting member of the caucus.
Uh-huh.
It's definitely an event you don't want to miss.
Okay.
Another way to support the caucus and this event is to act as a bronze, silver, or gold sponsor. Attaches an invitation that lists the benefits of sponsors, including multi-year caucus membership. Blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah.
I didn't print off the applications.
Okay, good.
I only wanted to abuse so much toner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Moving on. How about that? Mr. Leather Houston 2010.
Oh, yeah.
You can read it now. Kind of.
Well, it's still a little blurry. The first event that...
But it's in color.
He doesn't have... He's close to 40 and he doesn't have glasses.
Well, he's going to hurt you for that one.
Okay. The first event is Meet the Meat at the Ripcord on Friday, September 10th, 2010, at 10 p.m. I don't know what the hell that says. Something about the LGBT archives also will be something.
Huh?
Whatever that says. I guess it's Bots.
Oh, Bots.
Bots LGBT Archives. Will
oh,
also
they changed their name again?
I guess doing archives and stuff. Then on Saturday, September 11th, Mr. Leather Houston Contest over at the Ripcord at 10 p.m. And then on Sunday, which will bring me into this one here, Misfits Ball 12. The name of the event this year is going to be Steel.
Yeah.
The metal, not what you do.
Yeah, that's right. Two E's.
From 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. over at Numbers, 300 Westheimer, with special guest DJ Mark D., benefiting Baring Omega Adult Care Centers, the Montrose Counseling Center, and their anti-violence program. Suggested minimum donation of $15. There's going to be 50-50 raffle, silent auction. Leather Levi fetish attire is encouraged with clothing check available. Please be street legal. They ask if you could also bring your old cellular phones and chargers to donate to the victims of domestic violence. For more information, you can go to misfitshouston.org. Let's see. And then Boo Boo is having his fifth annual birthday bash.
Oh, the gayest show on earth.
Can't read what that says, but Daddy Stoot's Big Top of the Gayest Show on Earth on Sunday. As you knock Judy over.
Sorry.
September 19th, 2010 at 7 p.m. over at the BRB. That's at 2400 Brazos Street. Come for fabulous food, fun, and entertainment. You can also reserve a table for $100. Just contact Eric at stoots1@yahoo.com. This all benefits PWA Holiday Charities. All right. Let's see what we got here. And then we're going to have, let's see, on Sunday.
Sunday.
October 17th.
It's tradition.
Yeah. From 7:30 a.m. It's the arrival. What the heck? Oh, you arrive at 7:30 a.m. So that they can depart by 8:15 p.m. a.m. for a day of slots. Over at Cashada. SLOTS. Over at Cashada. Who's this for? A Posse Fall charity event benefiting the Fall Harvest Food Drive. The Positive Posse has chartered a bus for the day of slots at Cashada. You must be 21 and have a valid picture ID. You need that anyway to claim your money.
If you actually expect to win.
Yeah. There's no alcohol or smoking allowed on the bus. It's a 3-hour trip. So come on out and help out with that fundraiser. And that's all I got.
Hold on. My mic's back on. Yeah, Jimmy's looking up for something really quick. We forgot to plan ahead.
I would imagine I knew.
Well, maybe that.
Plan ahead? Jimmy, plan ahead? Are you crazy?
We had talked about it before, and I don't have what I need here.
Oh.
They've got their 8-second finger on it. Mm, damn.
We'll do it as an outro.
Oh, okay, we'll do it as the outro then.
Oh, okay.
Do that.
Okay.
Yeah, we got time.
Well, you got all our mics on in here now?
Yes, all of them are on now.
Okay. Joining us here in studio.
Oh my God, there's a familiar face in there.
I'm so happy to be here. I can't even tell you.
Just wait to hear the outro.
Oh, awesome. Oh. Is it for me?
Yes.
Yay!
I don't know.
I love special stuff.
Because we're treating you like family.
Well, I am family.
Especially to us. We miss you.
It's
so.
A little incestuous family, but.
The Manson family.
Hey, someone's got to put the fun in dysfunctional.
I know it's not the top of the hour. But I really miss doing it.
Well, you're going to be here until the top of the hour. We'll let you do it at the hour.
Okay.
But you have to do it our way.
No. Well, introduce yourself to those who may have forgotten. You know, we had an anti-douche person in here in the absence, so.
An anti-douche person. Well, I'm pro-douche.
I'm pro-douche, too.
This is Lisa Walker, and I am the managing director of Obsidian Art Space, and also one of an amazing team of four from Thunderclap Productions, and we're here to promote our show that's opening in 11 days, 19 hours, and 17 minutes. On September 9th, and each one of you should introduce yourselves.
I'm Aaron Alon.
I'm Peter Wittenberg, Jr.
And I'm Eric James.
And we are all producing The Great Storm. The Great Storm is a series of short plays. It's 10 10-minute plays, and each of them have a through-line story of about Hurricane Ike. And each one of us has written... I wrote two of them.
I've written two, and they've written three each.
And Peter and Aaron both wrote three of the plays, and Eric wrote two. And we're terribly, terribly excited.
We got the email from you, and it's like, well, come on, talk about it. Because, you know, I mean, it's...
I can't believe I didn't even think of it. It's been a year and a half since I was on the radio, and I adored being on the radio, but I actually have been a little bit busy.
Yeah.
And haven't missed it terribly, but all night tonight I was thinking, I get to put headphones on and I get to talk to the mic again.
Well, we're doing so many theater groups with on our show here now. It's like, well, come on in. You know, I asked the guys, it's like, hell yeah.
They did tell me that they would have the 8-second button prepared for me, though.
Yeah. He's been doing one-fingered push-ups.
Smart man.
Well, I promised I would be on my best behavior and I wouldn't drop the F-bomb.
Lisa's concept of one-finger push-ups are a little different.
We heard her show before.
It's a different finger altogether.
It's kind of sound like a stupid question, but what inspired you to come to do a play about Ike?
Well, Eric's going to take the answer of the origin of the plays.
We were asked to do a reading to help benefit a theater in Galveston last year for the one-year anniversary. It was a benefit to theater. ETC on the Strand had suffered some water damage from the hurricane, and we were asked to write plays for that reading. And three of us have written plays for that, and the three of them have gone on to be part of this group. And then we just thought, and it was an important topic. 2 years later, it'd be a good way to start a project for the four of us. And so we basically took the three and built it out to 10, so we could have a complete evening.
So where is this production going to be occurring at?
The production's going to be occurring at Obsidian Art Space, which is my new theater. My partner, Tom Still, who was an occasional co-host of mine when I did Hot and Bothered Radio, and I started a theater in the Heights. It's on White Oak, 3522 White Oak, and we're on the corner of Harvard and White Oak, and it's a beautiful new space. Houston Press recently called it Houston's coolest new venue. And we'll be opening there on September 9th.
And is it just going to be playing September 9th?
No, actually. Well, the
thanks
show
for that question, Peter.
Peter, don't you know? September 9th, 10th, and 11th. So it opens on a Thursday, the 9th, runs 10 and 11, and then runs the next weekend also, which is 16, 17, 18.
All performances are at 8 p.m.
Yeah, 8 p.m. curtain. And you really should come check it out. Come to check out the space. Come to check out the talent. The four of us have put together some really good pieces, and we have also somehow managed to pull in some of the most incredible talent in town. Mm-hmm. We didn't hold auditions. We got together. We sat down. We started talking about who would be your dream cast for this show, for your play, and we each came up with ideas. We started making phone calls, and people said yes, and yes, and yes, and yes. So we've got talent from a lot of different theater companies, and because each one of the four of us has different exposure to different theaters, we all thought of different companies and different talent to speak to. And so when Jennifer Decker, who is the artistic director of Mildred's Umbrella, is going to be acting in one of the plays that I wrote, Ricky Welch, who was also my consistent co-host here on Hot and Bothered, and there on Hot and Bothered, and he is also going to be performing in one of the plays I wrote. Justin Doran is directing two of the pieces actually that Aaron wrote, and he is
one piece that I wrote.
Oh, is it? Okay, yeah. Well, I can't quite keep up.
Yeah, he and Dennis Draper of
We have nine directors, about 20 actors, mm-hmm. 10 plays, 4 playwrights.
From all over. Yeah.
Yeah, and we've got just some of the most incredible talent all around.
All at Houston's coolest new venue.
Absolutely.
Definitely. All Houston talent, which is exciting, I think.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Surely this is no big deal, because surely most Houston theaters perform Houston plays written by Houston playwrights.
I'm glad you brought that up, Peter.
Have y'all been talking?
Don't call me Shirley.
Peter's just like, he's our lead man.
It's glad to see somebody came prepared.
They got together an hour before the show, and I was...
And I had a few drinks.
And
that was only the drink.
It was the drinking. Oh. And I didn't get to drink, so... I know, I was at the fights.
Again, originally Houston playwrights... Their works will be performed at these Ike plays, and not a lot of theaters do original plays from anybody in Houston, to tell you the truth. So this is a great opportunity for anybody in Houston who's a writer or a playwright.
Yeah, anybody who's in Houston who's a playwright who's interested in having their work produced should email me, Liza@obsidianartspace.org, and it's Liza, LEIGHZA. @obsidianartspace.org.
Can you spell obsidian, please?
OBSIDIAN.
Like
art,
test.
Which is singular. I know, I felt like I was in the spelling bee for a second.
That's why we didn't give you a bell. We think you got it right.
It's singularartspace.org. And there's conversation going on in there, too.
There always is.
I know. Jimmy's distracting me. So really, what Peter was saying is an exciting thing, and one of the focuses that Tom and I wanted to have with Obsidian Art Space was to be sure that original works were done at the space, and that I am a playwright is no small part of that, and that Tom is a playwright is no small part of that. And when these guys called me and asked me if I would consider writing a couple of short pieces for The Great Storm, I was really touched and excited, and then somehow we became this little family, the four of us. We have about 75 to 100 reply to all emails every day.
Every
damn day.
And every once in a while we'll start a new stream just because.
And I wake up in the morning, and as soon I use my cell phone as an alarm, and I hit dismiss, and then I flip it open, and I look to see how many freaking emails I have waiting for me. It's really a lot.
You know, Aaron, I was wondering if there's a website that people could go to about this project or this group of people.
Well, thanks for that question, Peter. Yeah, I hope everybody would check us out at thunderclapproductions.com.
That's thunderclap productions.com.
This is our speller.
Coming up next at Thunderclap Productions, the Spelling Bee plays.
What is it, the 30-second annual Putnam Spelling Bee?
Now.
We do original work.
And another great thing about the show is that we have all the money we need to produce this. Isn't that right, Aaron?
Almost, Peter, but we could use a little more help. We actually have a fundraiser going on Kickstarter right now.
Yeah.
All the money in the world. All the money that theater people usually have.
Yeah. Now, are you a 501c3?
Obsidian Art Space is a 501c3. Okay. We are recognized as a nonprofit organization. The four of us are discussing applying for 501c3 as a separate. We're a separate production company that is using Obsidian Art Space, and we're a little separate from it. Though I will talk about both with equal enthusiasm.
No, I've noticed that.
And the productions are well underway. We're far into our rehearsal process. We're as Lisa said, just how long now? From
11 days, 19 hours, and 8 minutes. Actually, 7.5 minutes.
And in that time, we're hoping to, before the end of the productions, we're hoping to raise the money that we...
That it costs to put it on.
That it costs to put it on, that's right. And to that end, we're using a site called Kickstarter. And if you go to Kickstarter.com and search for The Great Storm, you'll find us on there. Or you can find a link through our website, thunderclapproductions.com. And we're aiming toward a goal of raising $3,000 toward the production of this. Theater's expensive, but well worth it. And we recently had.
I thought you meant my theater was expensive for a minute, and then I realized you meant theater in general.
Theater in general, yes.
We
recently had somebody offer to match contributions up to a total contribution of $1,000, which means that anybody who donates, who contributes money right now, will be matched dollar for dollar, which is really very exciting and brings us much closer to getting that to that goal. With the contribution matching, we're already past $2,000, which is very, very exciting.
Very exciting to all of us because I'm broke as always, but the guys here have been putting a lot of dollars into this production so far.
And actors and directors really want to be paid, and they can get ugly if they're not.
That's true. And since I'm acting in two of them and directing one of them, I know that for sure.
Because she needs a fridge.
Now
I need a refrigerator.
I understand you have the common theme of Ike, but can you give us some of the highlights of what some of the different angles that your different plays.
The plays actually take place chronologically. They take place before the storm, during the storm, and after the storm. And one of mine, Chess Game Tuesday, takes place 4 days before the storm, in which three retirees in Galveston decide what they're going to do as far as evacuation. And they find out one of their friends is going to stay and weather out the storm, which threatens their friendship, threatens the one guy's life. Eric has a play that takes place into the storm. And, Eric, you want to talk about that?
No, not really. You're doing such a good job. It's actually, it does take place as the storm.
What's it called?
It's called Into the Storm.
What
imagine that. I know. And it does take place. It's actually about a married couple who have suffered a recent tragedy several months earlier, and they've been able to not talk about the subject. They've been able to... basically live their lives without actually facing up to the tragedy, and then suddenly being trapped by the storm and being stuck in the room together forced them to finally actually face what they've both been dealing with.
I was also interested in the idea of people getting trapped in small spaces together.
Which is why you do.
Yeah, and I wrote a play called Cleaning Out My Closet, and it's about a black mother and her white son, and they're trapped together in a closet during Hurricane Ike, and this is when she decides to tell him that he is adopted, which comes as a major surprise to him.
It's pretty irreverent and hilarious.
And then Lisa has one called Bare Necessities.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Bare Necessities is about two friends, man and a woman, waiting in line outside of the grocery store, waiting to be admitted into the grocery store. I'm sure most of us had that experience
after the storm,
if we were.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. After a few, I think it's about 4 or 5 days after the storm. And it's really just a 10-minute slice of conversation. And
it's really delightful. Yeah.
It's pretty funny, and I'm excited to be able to perform. I've been lucky as a playwright because this was the second time that I'll be able to perform in my own work. Mm-hmm. And my friend Tom Stell and my business partner, Tom Stell and I will be performing in that, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
And that's just four of the plays. I mean, there's six others that cover other avenues that happened after the or before or during or after the hurricane, and they're all different. Some are very dramatic, some are very funny, and they're all damn good.
Yeah, hopefully very relatable. I mean, I know a lot of people have come to me and said a lot of what you have in this play is exactly what I experienced during the storm, after the storm.
The lack of alcohol.
The lack of alcohol is a major.
You didn't know the bars gene down here in the Montrose. you don't keep a queen from their vodka. There was candlelight service, and you got what you could. It was warmer. You got it.
You see, nobody tells me these things.
Damn, why didn't I know about that?
In fact,
this is what you missed by being straight.
I'm the token, by the way.
He's the token. Yeah.
Well, see, in some of the bars there, it's already dark enough in there, so without electricity, you really don't notice that much difference.
Mm.
Just everyone's complaining that there's a little less light.
Makes it a little easier.
Suddenly, everything's a ripcord.
That's what I was talking about.
Actually, two of these plays were in last weekend's 10x10. Actually, there's one more performance, actually, at the Country Playhouse tomorrow. There's a matinee performance. One of Aaron's plays and one of Eric's plays are being performed. there are 10 very entertaining plays in the 10x10 this year, and one of them's mine too. And but two of the plays that are going to be performed in the Great Storm next month.
Okay, we need to step out for a second and take care of our PSAs and the.
Do I get to do the thing?
We'll do it afterwards.
Okay.
When we come back, we'll have Lisa. Hopefully, she remembers how to do it. So here's your PSAs. We'll be right back on After Hours.
Right now, you are getting to hear statements on the air by candidates for our local board of directors. Members are encouraged to educate themselves about what board members are and are not permitted to do. Board members are tasked with governance, while staff is tasked with daily operations. Board members are assigned to work with management to ensure programming is responsive to community needs. However, no individual candidate, if elected, has the power to add, change, expand, or cancel any particular program, time slot, or programmer. Members are encouraged to research all information presented by candidates, to ask questions of candidates and staff, and to be informed voters in the interests of a better Pacifica Foundation. Check kpft.org or pacificaelections2010.org to learn more about the issues of governance and station operations. And please make your vote count by returning your ballot. KPFT Houston.
Hello, I'm Ruth Nasrula, and I'm running for KPFT's local station board. KPFT is a vehicle for all communities to have a public voice, and I'm committed to ensuring all those voices are heard. I'm especially hoping to increase participation by Houston's diverse Muslim community, which is underrepresented in mainstream media and often misunderstood by the public. My education and community service background make me well qualified to serve on the board. Since 2007, I have run Light of Islam, a nonprofit educational center and bookstore, which has afforded me firsthand exposure to the challenges and joys of a community-oriented and supported endeavor. I have a master's degree in journalism and write a blog about Muslim life for the Houston Chronicle. KPFT must have representation from all minority communities, and so I am asking for your vote for me, Ruth Nasrula, for the KPFT Local Station Board.
This candidate statement is property of the author only and not KPFT or Pacifica.
You are listening to KPFT 90.1 in Houston, 89.5 in Galveston.
You did it wrong.
I did not. I did it the way I did it.
Well, you were lucky they weren't listening to you anyway.
They were listening to me for 3 years, let me tell you right now. If they were listening, I would have been on for like a week and a half.
Yeah, because it's KPFT Houston.
KPFT Houston.
Yeah.
90.1 in...
Yeah, like right there in the little sign.
I don't have to say in Houston again.
No, but you have to have KPFT followed by Houston.
KPFT Houston.
Yeah.
90.1.
Yeah.
89.5 in Galveston. Mm-hmm. We still have 89.5 in Galveston?
Yeah, your audition next.
Yeah.
See, you're going to make me drop the F-bomb.
I like her radio voice.
You like it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a lot of marriage proposals from this voice.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but...
Any other
but fortunately, she...
I had like a semi.
None of them were released before my show got canceled.
So they didn't know where to...
I didn't know where to forward the email. The snail mail.
Yeah, we are here with Thunderclap Productions, who's putting on a production over at Obsidian Art Space.
Yes.
I'll have notes. I'm doing well for that.
Good job.
What all, I mean, so we've got this production coming up here of The Great Storm, centered on this two-year anniversary of Ike. And so what else do y'all have in the works?
We have another production we're going to be announcing very soon, but that's probably going to be sometime in February. And we're also very excited about the premiere of a brand new musical review that we're involved with the writing of. It's called Death the Musical. And you can find us at deathmusical.com. There's also information on our Thunderclap website, thunderclapproductions.com. Death the Musical is a collection of comic sketches and comic songs all about some aspect of death. Anything goes, from zombies to necrophilia. So.
It's a real rib tickler.
From zombies to necrophilia. That was your show following when you got...
That was our fetish.
That was one of her themes.
Sign. Yeah, our fetish show.
It sounds like Roundtable.
No, I do have one necrophilia story I can pull in.
Just don't talk about the B word, because they'll call you the next day and cancel you.
B?
I won't say it, because I don't want to get... Yeah, that's what I got in trouble for.
We cover a bestiality story a week.
What if you say zoophilia?
No, it's got zoo in it.
At the end of the show, we do a round table, and we have three pillars of it that we call hypocrisy, bestiality, and how did that get up there?
Oh.
And I guess the difference is because it's like 3:50 in the morning.
Yeah,
no one's listening.
The same people aren't listening anymore.
The same people.
Well,
yeah.
Tonight's segment features
the people who
Amish
would propose
bestiality.
To you guys wouldn't be the same people who would propose to me.
Let's face it, Lisa's
like
always been ahead of her time.
is Amish bestiality like regular bestiality, except the gerbils have six toes on each?
No, it's homemade.
Oh, okay.
It's just when you
can't bring them in on
you,
trucks.
You do it without the lights on.
But in this case, it's without the candles on.
It has to be from scratch.
Yeah. And, you know, buckles. No laces.
Do they help raise the barn afterwards?
No, that's what they called it.
Raising the barn?
Yeah.
That's just changed so many books
that's
for me.
Like
Jebediah, let's raise the barn.
Not tonight, dear. I have a headache.
Oh, you get right back into this.
I've never left.
We can attest. I was going to say, I thought I saw a ghost walking down the hallway last week.
Uh-oh. Since I'm clearly alive, my shade's wandering the halls here.
Haunting us.
Yeah, it's the just waiting for the F-bomb.
8 seconds delayed.
Jimmy can't even stay in the studio. He had to leave just in
case.
Yeah.
We have deniability in case happens. Well, it was just
that's
Wes
right.
And I. Jimmy wasn't here. He wasn't listening to the show. Can we keep it?
Hey, Aaron, I have a question.
Oh, yes, Peter.
Peter's so uninformed.
How much are the tickets for these?
No, we can't talk about how much the tickets are, I thought.
No, the theater is 501c3, so you can.
Okay.
So, Aaron, I have a question.
Deja vu.
How much are these tickets anyway?
The tickets are pay what you can pricing. We request or recommend a $15 payment for the tickets, but you can pay anything that you think would be appropriate.
And we've had people pay anything, actually. We recently had someone pay $100 for a ticket.
That's right.
True.
And we encourage that.
I bet you
bashful, aren't you?
No, I need money. This show needs money. The theater needs money, and our production company needs money. And we're a nonprofit, and we're bringing art to Houston. Yeah. And art is significant to everyone's lives. And so we're not going to be shy about asking for money.
And we're talking about locally produced, locally written, with a local spin on it.
Absolutely.
You know, this is something that all of us here in Houston lived through.
Mm-hmm.
Who have been here for the past 2 years, and you know. It's an amazing topic of this when you know we're the energy city of call ourselves the energy city of the United States, and to go through and see us without power for
weeks.
I mean,
15 days, man.
My sister-in-law gave birth following Ike.
Wow.
And on the 18th.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down at Texas Women's Center, and they had kind of sporadic power at the time, and it was so weird coming in. I had electricity out in the suburbs where I was, and then coming down, driving down Montrose, going, well, you know, maybe I'll stop at Nico Nico's and get something to eat for dinner.
No, you won't. Yeah.
And just seeing the Montrose dark was like, you know,
it's kind of creepy.
It was weird, and no one out on the streets. It was. You know, so it's something to something we all have a personal touch on that we can experience and relate to in some way or another.
Certainly, and we hope that the Houston audiences will come in to see it so that they can have that moment and realize one of the things that I love just about being alive, really, is those moments when you recognize that you share an experience with another person, and you have that second or moment where Aaron and I call it thought bubbles or consciousness bubbles, where they mesh for just a second, and you realize that you have this exact same experience, or at least a similar enough one to share with another person, and that doesn't really happen very often.
You've walked a mile ankle deep or knee deep in their
in rainwater, yeah.
On that, so let's give a wrap up on it for the once again, the play, where it's at, what times, all that good stuff.
The Great Storm.
The website.
And you can find more information about The Great Storm at thunderclapproductions.com or obsidianartspace.org. And it's called The Great Storm, and it opens September 9th and runs 9, 10, 11, 16, 17, 18 at Obsidian Art Space, 3522 White Oak Drive in Houston. And the zip is 77007 in case you want to Google it.
And curtains at 8 p.m.
8 p.m. Each curtain. Night.
Come have a glass of wine with us.
That's a nice one for Peter.
Do we have that outro song for her?
Yeah, I had to look it up on YouTube.
Oh, I couldn't find my CD. We have a little tradition on After Hours that when a family member is gone for a while and comes back, we have a song we bring them back to. And since we consider you family, we had to bring it out. And so one of the only times we play this artist is for this. So in honor of Lisa's return to KPFT, ladies and gentlemen, Elton John, the bitch is back.
Yay!
And I don't feel like dancing, there'll be no dancing tonight. Oh, no, we're not going to do that one. That's a Scissor Sisters song, but I helped write it. Anyway, here we go. Thank you so much.
where the bad men are, and the only friend to guide you is an evening star. The roughest, the toughest,
toughest
man by far is Ragtime Cowboy Joe. He got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night they say he sings the herd to sleep in a voice so rich and deep, crooning soft and low. He always sings raggy music to the cattle as they swing back and forward in the saddle on a horse that is syncopated, gated, and there's such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater. How they run when they hear the fellas gone, because the western folks all know that he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona. Up every Sunday in his Sunday clothes, he beats it to the village where he always goes, and every girl in town is Joe's, cause he's a ragtime bear. And once he gets to moving on the dance hall floor, no one but a lunatic would start a war. Bad men know his 44 makes men dance for sure. He always sings
Hey there, Gigi.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm all right. So who you got with you tonight?
Well, we've got Ann and...
Brady.
And tonight we've got a good show lined up. We're going to be talking about a type of spiritual BDSM play called Shamanism and the Human Drum. And then we're going to talk a little bit about some group leather groups in town and some leather events coming up. So anyway, Anne has done a presentation on the shamanistic human drum, and it's really quite a fascinating topic. It's kind of one thing I like about her presentation is she includes scientific data as well as some of the techniques and how to make it happen. So Anne, before we get into the shamanistic drum, human drum, what kind of led you into exploring the spiritual side of BDSM?
Oh, that's a good question. I think in getting started in BDSM over a period of time, it wasn't a loss of enthusiasm, but looking for something a little bit more. And when I first entered into BDSM, it was all new and exciting, and everything was, you know, fascinating, and it had a little bit of mysticism to it. And over a period of time, it became more, I hate to use the word normal, but it did. It just became more mundane, but I still enjoyed it. So I was looking for something more, and I really enjoyed that connection, and I started exploring energy play and really making that great connection, and it led into more the spiritual aspects of really connecting with the other person. Also, in my journey, also discovering who I was. Because when I first started out, I was looking for something, searching for something. I just really wasn't sure what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually I kind of, you know, came around to discover, you know what, I found myself in this. And so and there's a difference between spirituality and religion. And
yeah.
Spirituality is discovering who you are and celebrating your higher self.
Yeah, and I kind of for me, my own definition of spirit is I kind of look back to Greek culture, and they have an interesting word called animate. Something that's animate is self-moving. Mm-hmm. And that, to me, is kind of my basis for the human spirit, even animal spirits. Anything that's self-moving is spiritual and has spirit.
Yes.
So it's kind of a non-religious definition. And kind of a way for me to play with things that energy exchange between two spirits. And I think that's one of the things I found so fascinating about the shamanistic drum is another way to exchange energy.
Yes, it is.
But do you want to describe what the shamanistic human drum is?
Well, I looked at a lot of research. I was in an accident many, many years ago, and I've had multiple surgeries. And I was trying to discover a way also of dealing with my discovering pain management. It's something that would work for me other than medication. And meditation was, you know, always been a part of my life. And I was mm-hmm. looking at other different forms of meditation. And I came across drumming, which is an ancient ritual. It goes back, you know, to the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And with drumming, there's been a lot of research lately looking at the studies of brain waves. And the medical research showed that it helped with pain management, also boosts the immune system, and a variety of other things. And in shamanism, I don't claim to be a shaman, and I don't suggest anybody else to do either, but I've done a lot of research and had some training. And with shaman, they use drum methods to reach an altered state of consciousness or alter your awareness, very similar to meditation. And you go from a function in beta.
Mm-hmm.
And this takes you into theta, and they found that shamans reach theta state. And also in play, what we do is when we alter our consciousness, we reach sort of a meditative state. We call what we call subspace or top space.
Yeah.
But the shaman does go into that altered state, and drumming can do that too. It's very meditative, and it involves not just the drummer but also the listener. So it's like a co-conscious.
I know when
connection.
I camp out at pagan festivals, and you know I'm going to bed around 3 or 4, sometimes 6 in the morning, and someone's still drumming way off in the distance.
Yes.
It's like I have the most amazing dreams once I kind of enter into sleep state.
Yes.
But it's just amazing what the drumming can do.
And also when I play, music's always been an integral part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And something with a good beat. And we get into cathartic or rhythm play and bringing along catharsis as a part of our play. And so when I got hurt, I couldn't stand up for a while because of my leg, and so I was looking for also alternatives to playing,
mm-hmm.
and not just in my healing and pain management. So I loved the rhythmic play, and so I got into rhythm play using and incorporating my hands as a tool, finding another way of playing, and it led to the presentation that I wrote, which is Human Body, the Shaman's Drum, and a Modern Shamanistic Journey.
Well, I know that I've done many Taoist erotic massage, and part of the technique in that is sometimes using a kind of vibrations into the body to help produce that energy flow.
Yes, and we do talk about energy exchange, because I know we throw that topic around a lot in interplay in our activities. And so I do talk about the chakra system and also various cultures and how they talk about the spinning wheels, which human body, everything's made up of some form of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And the chakra system is basic. The human body is basically, conductors of that and, you know, receiving stations, and also we send out energy, so we receive and send energy. So we did discuss the chakra system and how we can affect the body through play as well.
Yeah.
So I really enjoy that.
And I know you've used this drumming technique on some of your submissives.
Mm-hmm.
What effect does it do for the submissive?
In the very beginning, you start out with the very gentle rhythm pattern using the hands, and you use different parts of your hand, and you use different parts of the body, but you start out very very softly and gently and very slow. Then you build that. And whatever.
And basically, what kind of rhythm do you want to use?
I try to start out with that basic heartbeat, but I work in which is a 4.5 beats per second, and then I slow it up, and then I build it back up. But what happens for the bottom or the submissive is it allows them to reach that altered state a lot quicker.
Yeah.
And a lot deeper, depending on where they want to go with the play. So it's great because as a top, I get in that top space along with them. And it's just like it's more than just that connection. You have that connection in your exchange of energy, but also that energy seems to bubble both of us, and it's almost like becoming one with the bottom.
I know when I flog people, I get into kind of the rhythm, especially when I'm doing double flogging.
Yes,
and I know I kind of get into that trance state when I get into that really, and
this is
as well as the sub. And so there is this kind of connection that goes deeper than just your regular type flogging.
Yes, that rhythm flogging, rhythm caning, this is very similar, but also allows you to incorporate rhythm into body impact play or impact play. So, but it's like drumming a regular drum instrument, but you're drumming the human skin.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever pattern of energy, how hard, how soft, how quickly, whatever impact you make, you get that back.
Yeah.
You create the type of energy based on how fast or how slow you do it.
Oh, yeah. And I know that you mentioned in it shifting at some point into more of a chaotic rhythm to kind of change the trance state.
Yes. I know in hypnosis we change when you're doing, they use different methods, and you layer the hypnotic methods to create a little chaos, because chaos can cause the hypnosis become deeper. And same thing with incorporating rhythm play. When you add chaos into that, it deepens that trance state. Because just like, have you ever been to the gym and go work out, and all of a sudden you stop getting the
darling, sex? I never work out except in sex. But I have done sex rhythm.
But our bodies eventually acclimate to the workout, so we have to change up our workout so our bodies don't start to recognize, oh, you're going to do this, and then you stop getting the effects.
Yeah.
Well, same thing with rhythm. If you change that up, it changes the brain patterns, it changes the body's response, and allows it to go in a deeper state of trance. Otherwise, it gets too used to that particular rhythm.
Yeah. In my early college days, I was into gymnastics, so.
I bet you're really into that. Why, you're still so limber.
Yeah.
Which always makes it fun.
Except for the knee. But, I do have a bad knee. Well,
we've played on occasion, and you've gotten a chance to. How did that work for you?
I know that when you started getting into that rhythm, it did take me deeper. And I also had more of an endorphin experience than what I usually get when it's just non-rhythm play.
I know when, like, in hypnosis, similar to that, also, I've had people tell me they're more suggestive.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times they'll talk about subdrop, which is a drop in endorphins.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also give the suggestion that the results after play will last as long as you need.
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think it's because I'm ADHD, so severely ADHD, and I've never had endorphin drop. Actually, the opposite occurs. For 3 to 5 days, I'm still kind of coasting along from a really heavy scene. So I never get that drop off. It kind of slides gently down over a long period of time.
That's great. I know some people have that experience. Uh-huh. Some people have, like, 2 or 3 days later, a major drop in endorphins.
Mm-hmm. But I'm just wired so differently. I mean, when they did my EEGs, they found I have twice the normal wiring between the hemispheres of my brain. Medications always work different on me than other people. You know, I'm just wired very different.
Well, that's one of the benefits of drumming, whether it's the instrument or the body, or if you're incorporating any type of rhythm play. It does harmonize both hemispheres, the right hemisphere and the left hemisphere. Also, it combines the frontal cortex with the lower brain. So the more connections you make with the brain, too, I mean, just amazing things happen.
Yeah, and the other thing I noticed, because I have the bad hand tremors after especially the rhythm play, but even just a real intense scene, my hand tremors lessened for a while, about 2 to 3 days.
So you see some other physical...
Yeah. You know. Now, during the scene, they can really peek out and go... I get real shaky sometimes, especially when I'm flying really deep in subspace.
Mm-hmm.
But then after the scene, they kind of ease off and get a lot better.
One thing so, I found fascinating is you were mentioning your creativity.
Yeah.
I remember last time we were speaking, your creative juices started flowing more, and you're more creative. You're able to write better and do all kinds of things.
Yes. In fact, my CBT device came to me right after a heavy scene, and it was just all of a sudden I envisioned it in my head, and I thought, ooh, I'm going to make this.
I like your CBT device. It's a really interesting development that you have there.
Yeah. Well, another we have another guest here. Is there anything else you wanted to cover on the shamanistic drumming?
No, thank you for having the opportunity to talk about it.
Oh, yeah. We have a guest here to talk about youth coming into leather. And a group that's formed or forming?
It is currently in the process of being formed.
Oh, okay. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, basically it's the National Leather Association, Houston chapter. It's a subcommittee of that chapter called Fresh Leather. It's sponsored by National Leather Association International. And basically, in an effort to preserve the leather lifestyle, they have started to form these groups to make it easier to people coming into the scene, coming into the lifestyle, to learn more about what it is and where we come from and why we do the things the way that we do.
Mm-hmm.
We're currently still trying to get all of our policies and procedures hammered out and get them approved by National Leather Association International. Currently, we're still kind of small, and we're just kind of...
What is the age group you're bringing in?
It is an 18 to 35 18 for the minimum reasons and 35 basically just kind of where the line was drawn after 35. It's one of those things. We are trying to be inclusive.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that we're doing is a leather 101 class where we're going to have speakers come and talk about their experiences in the lifestyle and what it is to be leather, where they came from, why they were drawn to it, and share some of those associations. And part of that is an effort to bring the older group and the younger group closer together. The significant reason is to allow the younger generation to understand where it is that we're coming from and why we do things the way that we do.
Mm-hmm. I know that there's kind of old guard and new guard, and how does the group address some of those differences, and what does the group embrace?
Well, you know, I find that question kind of funny. You know, the old guard, new guard banter has been going around since right after World War II, when leather first started getting formed. And really, we try to look at it not as an old guard, new guard, more of just the guard.
Yeah.
This is leather. And really, we try to embrace the core values of leather: honor, integrity, service,
discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I know that you're, Brady, you're using lifestyle just to differentiate from the pansexual community, the mainstream BDSM community. But for me, I'm leather. That's who I am. This is my life.
Yeah.
So I really don't refer to it as a lifestyle, but I know that you're using that in that to kind of differentiate there. You know, we think about the old guard, new guard. Each generation brings a new life and passion.
Yeah.
And this is basic outreach so those that are interested can find out about our history, about the traditions. And I don't believe in any one true wayism.
Yeah.
It's a path. Either it's for you or it isn't. And even those come into, I think, the Fresh Leather group, even if they decide leather isn't for them, they've had an introduction to try and demystify some things about leather, and they can carry a lot of that knowledge with them.
Yeah.
Because they may find some things that really work for them.
A lot of myths about the leather community. And
there are. And, you know, it was one of those things when I was first coming in, you know, I had known about it for a while. You know, I'd had some interactions with some leather folk, but it was one of those things that for me, I was still, okay, you know what, leathermen are old, you know, 45, 50 plus, you know, old gay men or whatever. And it was when I started coming around, going to some parties and stuff like that, you know, I started people and they were like, oh, well, who's so-and-so, you know, oh, they're leather, you know, you may not get around. I kind of get a little wild and crazy and some people think I lack discipline. The question, or I would say the proper answer, is that I normally choose to ignore it.
Sound kind of like me. I mean, I've been drifting in and out of, in various leather groups most of my adult life. And, you know, I first started mentioning the whole concept of spirituality in BDSM many, many years ago. And that was so taboo back then. Still is, kind of, but it's getting better.
Yeah.
But the other thing that kind of turned me off to a lot of groups was the high protocol. And that's, you know, I got involved with Whip Society because it was...
Group.
Oh, it is a wonderful group. Because it is, you know, that I could get into a scene and play with still honor, respect, integrity, but not have to follow this rigid, what I, you know, it's a...
Yes.
Yeah.
But I've always kind of marched to my own drumbeat.
Well, I think for me, you know, it's not about conformity. It is about being true to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, I like structure.
Yeah. I do too.
Brady has a military background. But I like that structure and order, but I also like the flexibility within that. But that is just part of who I am.
Yeah.
But like I said, there's no true way, you know, true way of doing things. It's being true to yourself and maintaining that honor and in that integrity and discipline. So leather, it's either who you are or you're not. That doesn't mean that.
It doesn't make it wrong.
Right, and it doesn't matter what segment of the community we can get along and learn from each other, but, you know, I may not do well in this part of the community or that part of the community, but this is who I am, and I fit well.
Yeah.
So, and I enjoy it.
And that was honestly one of the things that first really attracted me to leathers, is I'd had some background prior to my time in the military, and then while I was in, I learned a little bit more about it. You know, leather was basically formed from World War II vets coming home that were still looking for some of the things that they had, and the more I found out about leather, the more I was interested in, because, you know, it's honor, integrity, you know, respect and discipline, and that was one of those things. You know, my time when I first, you know, came back out, I started hanging around with the Kingster crowd and the mainstream BDSM, and, you know, there was a lot of just kind of chaos and anarchy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the part of what I was craving was the structure and you know,
the camaraderie.
Discipline, the camaraderie in a, mm-hmm. in a big part. You know, the fact of, you know, like when I was in the military, you know, you go someplace, you know, you're a band of brothers. Granted, you know, when we're at work, I may hate your guts.
Yeah.
You know, and want nothing to do with you. But, you know, when you're out and about and, you know, somebody, you know, stands up to you or whatever and it's just kind of like, hey, you know, we're about to have a problem. It's kind of like, you know what, you're my brother, like it or not. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to go back to the wall for you. And that's part of what attracted me to leather too, is yeah. is that camaraderie and that intimacy and trust.
Well, this is kind of a weird segue maybe, but I know that I find it kind of interesting how, you know, World War II returning vets kind of were the platform for the leather community. Kind of an interesting segue is that in ancient Rome, Romans returning from war were required to go to the sacred sex temples before they were reintroduced back into society. And they made a much better transition. I think part of it is that we get a lot of healing through BDSM and through sexuality that we can't get anywhere else.
I would agree with that. I mean, it's very cleansing and purifying,
cathartic
you know, and that's one of those things. Being a veteran, I mean, you see a lot of messed up stuff that, you know, there, how many guys do you see, you know, that are veterans and, you know, they have issues because they have stuff in their head that they can't quite get rid of.
BDSM,
we learn to process emotions, thoughts.
You learn to process pain, emotion, and all sorts of things, and it's very, I mean, yeah, it's not for everyone, but it teaches you a lot about life.
Yeah. One of the experiences I had, because I had a boyfriend that kind of got me into the scene, and he knew I was abused by my father, physically abused, and one of the things he did was he slowly brought me into recreating some of those earlier scenes, but this time I had safe words. As a kid, I had no safe words. And I think just that one, being able to use a safe word in that situation, empowered that wounded child within. And so it's more than just healing, it was a form of empowerment.
Yes. And also, I think,
you know, and giving me control again of something that was out of control.
Very good.
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the things I really love about doing this show is educating people on alternative things. Because we have things I've discovered through sacred sex and through leather and through everything I'm into, is that we can empower ourselves. We can take back what was taken from us and reclaim.
Well, one thing I like about the new fresh leather group, even after the cutoff age is 35, even if you're older and you're new to leather, you'll be able to participate in the educational components and learn about leather history, some of the traditions, and also that discovery that this is, you know, who you are and this is for you. So we also have mentoring available, too, to all ages that are coming to leather.
NLA Houston, Fresh Leather is actually a subcommittee of NLA Houston, mm-hmm. and it's one of those things that the vision is to try to keep it as inclusive as possible. Yes, the actual group is 18 to 35. However, you know, anyone who's new to Leather, you know, is welcome to come out to the events. I mean, yeah, we're going to have a couple of events that we would like to keep to, you know, kind of a kiddie pool sort of thing.
Yeah.
But as far as, like, all the education, you know, the Leather 101 classes, and it's outreach.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to keep it as available.
How would people find you?
Well, you can, we're currently working on a link from the NLA Houston website, which I believe that is nlahoustontx.org. And we also have a group on FetLife.com. If you sign up on FetLife, you can search for NLA.
How do you spell that?
It's NLA-Houston.
No, FetLife.
Oh, F is in Frank. E is in Echo, T is in Tango, and life is in the box of cereal. FetLife.com. And if you get on FetLife, you can search for the NLA Houston Fresh Leather Group. We're, like I said previously, we're still getting started, so we don't have any sort of set meeting schedule yet. We're still working on that.
But you had a great first meeting not too long ago.
Yes, actually.
Big turnout.
Are you just had one meeting so far?
The kind of planners and organizers we've had a couple of meetings talking about what we're going to do, going over the policies and procedures recommendation packet from NLA International.
Wow.
And then just about 2 weeks ago, we had a meeting with all the people who expressed interest and some of their mentors and such. Just to basically say, hey, this is what we're here for, and start talking about it. We passed out, or we emailed out the policies and procedures packet, and we're going to have another meeting upcoming.
So how did the first meeting go?
We had twice the turnout I was expecting.
Great!
It was actually quite surprising.
We had people from the gay community, from the heterosexual community, and we had some women, too. And I know for women there's a myth, but yes, there are some very strong...
Yes.
Wonderful leather women, and you know, leather women have their own history. I came into it though through the gay males.
Well, I wish this was around when I was.
Yeah, because women have not always had an easy time of it.
No, we have.
That was actually one of the questions that was asked. Is you know, some of the people were like, "Oh, well, I thought leather was kind of like a gay man only thing."
And, what?
And yeah, you know, but it was one of those things that I'm like, no. I was like, we actually have several women. Both.
I would say that the percentage of leather people in the gay community is about the same as the percentage of leather people in the straight community.
Oh, yeah.
I would say so, and particularly in L.A., I mean, seems it was formed as a gay men's social club.
It seems to be going back and forth, you know, between gay, straight.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things. It was originally formed as a gay men's social club, but now is a pansexual organization, and we have people
as it should be.
Yes, yeah. We have people from all walks of life, because you know what? You don't have to be a gay man to embrace honor, integrity, you know, service and discipline.
That's right.
You know, and it's one of those things that I'm so glad it's going this way, and I was so glad that the turnout, I mean, we had about halvesies as far as, you know, gay people, bi people, straight people.
Great.
It was just absolutely fantastic, although I did think we scared some of the restaurant, you know.
They'll either get over it or they won't.
Yeah.
You know, that's it.
My frank opinion is, if it doesn't concern you, why do you care?
You're right. Yeah. You want the business or what?
Well, I have something for Annie. I know that I've been working with several women lately on rites of passage and some things that in the past were kind of exclusively male. Things like going on a quest and going through ordeals. You know, you see this over and over throughout time. You know, the story is about a male figure coming to terms with manhood. Is there anything similar to that for the women that come to this group?
we go through a process, a vetting process, regardless of your how you identify as male or female.
Mm-hmm.
It's basically same as for a male. You just you follow the protocols in NLA. You maintain your integrity. And you be involved with the organization, the social events, and the community service. And I think the community service is something that I highly enjoy being a part of. Right now we support Thomas Street Clinic, and being able to be a part of the service to that organization has been wonderful.
Mm.
But I think with anyone who goes, we go back to ordeals. We go through ordeals in our life all the time. it's learning how to deal with those ordeals.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important. And what's great is having my comrades in the leather community that have supported me in a lot of my ordeals. Because I'm human, I make mistakes, but it's learning how to adjust and learn, just like in BDSM when we engage in play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can endure, then we can also transcend that into our regular, you know, everyday ordeals. Mm-hmm. and make it. So,
yeah. Well, I wish this group had been around when I was first coming out in leather.
Well, it was, but...
No, I mean the youth...
The Fresh Leather.
Yeah. Because it sounds like a really wonderful program. And
well, we're trying really hard, you know. It's all about education, support, providing information, which is part of why we're trying to be as inclusive as possible, because mm-hmm. you can be new to leather and still be over the, 35-year-old bookmark.
Oh, yeah, totally.
And
in fact, I get a few emails from one of my websites, people saying, well, I've always been secretive about this. I kind of like pain, but I can't tell anybody, you know.
Yeah.
I like erotic pain, but it's this deep, dark secret that I have to keep, and they don't realize there's a whole community out there that's into this.
Yeah, and, you know, it's one of those things that I find hilarious, because it's BDSM is one of those things that's it's not quite open and out on the table that you can discuss anywhere you go.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, you know, crack open any book on, like, healthy sexuality or how to enhance your sex life, and guess what? They're going to start talking about BDSM concepts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, put a blindfold over your eyes, you know, try
a little bit of light spanking.
And stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's one of those things that, guess what? You know what? Everyone does it.
Uh-huh.
And...
Well, the other thing I like to bring up on that same line of thought is that every known religion has had some subsect that practices some form of BDSM to heighten their spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Different Indian tribes. We talk about hook suspension.
Uh-huh.
the sweat lodges. Just
Christianity.
Corpus Dei. Yeah.
Self-flagellation. Fastings, whatever culture you look at, there's some form of, but these all those processes also can alter your state of consciousness,
mm-hmm.
Deal with purification, endurance, mm-hmm. processing ordeals.
Yeah.
It all ties in.
Yeah. Well, for my little vanilla life, I've had a leather segment on here since the early 90s. And the thing that I learned from the leather community is the art of negotiation.
Oh, yeah.
Very important.
And that mm-hmm. just cured a lot of evils in my relationship.
You know, it's one of those things.
And it's so simple.
Yeah.
It is, but it's one of those things that's easy to understand the basics, but difficult to master.
Yeah.
And that's honestly the problem in so many relationships, whether they're BDSM, you know, dominant submissive, or whether they're just out and out vanilla, is poor negotiation.
Yes.
And it
just boils down to communication.
Yeah.
It does.
Well, one thing, too, is that we don't have a good vocabulary for when it comes to communications about sexuality and about sensuality and about BDSM play.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's one of the things that we don't have many tools, but I have developed the BDSM interest evaluation. I've seen many other types of BDSM interest evaluations that go a long ways to helping with that communication process.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
And with the negotiation process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of those things. I mean, you know, this is the kind of stuff that, you know, we cover. Granted, yeah, this could easily be BDSM 101 as much as Leather 101, but, you know, it is very much part of Leather. You know, we try to talk about, you know, negotiation and the different terms, because that's one of those things that Leather is a protocol-based society. You know, you have tops and bottoms, dominants, submissives, masters, and slaves. And it's one of those things that, you know, in some people's dynamics, you know, they may not be permitted to touch mm-hmm. people of the opposite gender or whatever. And these are things that you have to learn to communicate, you know, whatever, you know, the case may be. And it's one of those things that you start to learn a lot. And it's applicable in vanilla life. I mean, mm-hmm. I've met several people that have said, you know, they've learned a lot of stuff and they're, you know, behind bedroom doors, BDSM life that, you know, they've taken to work. And, you know, the more they learn about it, they're like, wow, I see this stuff going on at work all the time. And
yeah.
But I think also one of the keys to negotiation is knowing who you are or mm-hmm. knowing what you're looking for.
Yeah. I can't tell you how many subs I've asked, well, what are your limits? What do you want to do? And they go, oh, you can do anything to me. It's like, no, I can't.
I'm no limits slub.
There are limits. Everybody has limits.
And
let's get down and start looking at particular limits and communicating. Because people coming into it, even some old season players I've run into, you know, you can do anything you want. And
which leg do you want to lose?
And I think, too, we're always growing and we're changing. Mm-hmm. We go through processes in our life that can alter us. And sometimes, I know I've gone through different peaks and valleys in my life, and I've had to reevaluate who I am. Are these mm-hmm. values, these beliefs still a part of me? Do I still need these? Is this still who I am? And so I know that we do go through changes in our life.
Yeah.
So it's rediscovering sometimes who we are. And for me, too, BDSM has helped me mm-hmm. in doing that. So.
And I think another concept that goes very closely with negotiation is informed consent.
Yes, very much.
Between play partners. You can't have informed consent unless you communicate very specifically.
Yes, and if you say, these are my boundaries, these are my limits, don't mm-hmm. cross that.
Yeah.
And you have to be very careful and go back and again. But I think it's also important to know, or not to have boundaries set there, act as barriers to
right.
prevent growth and to actually cause stagnation in a dynamic. So it's very careful how mm-hmm. how you negotiate those boundaries and limitations. So
yeah.
These are ones that you cannot cross, and these are ones that we can look at and go back and talk about expanding.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times, too, in BDSM play, it is about going and expanding our boundaries.
Our boundaries, yes. Oh,
so,
I've expanded many of mine.
As well as I have, too. But there are certain boundaries that have stuck with me, and mm-hmm. so I'm very careful about that. So
let me ask you, as an outsider here, in expanding your boundaries, do you ever do it with someone you've never played with, or do you do it with someone that you've played with a lot?
For me, it's usually someone I have a trusting relationship with.
Yeah, I think
that
trust
knows,
is
that knows
the key
who
word.
I am, that knows that what I'm looking for, where I'm wanting to go, and have a good communication with.
And we're going to have to break right here and do a little announcements for the station and a station break. I can play a song if you'd like, and you can take a little break for a smoke, and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Thank you.
Headlights at The Texas Death Penalty Abolition Movement invites you to a press conference and protest Thursday, September 2nd at 6 p.m. 2342 Bissonnette, right outside of Murder by the Book. Thursday, September 2nd, 6 p.m. sharp at 2342 Bissonnette for a press conference and protest hosted by the Abolition Movement. We oppose the use of the death penalty anywhere, and this event will inform you about ex-Harris County DA Carol Vance's use of the death penalty when he was in office from 66 to 1979. Mark your calendar, 6 p.m. Thursday, September 2nd, 2342 Bissonnette between Kirby and Shepherd to learn how ex-DA Carol Vance put an innocent man on death row and much more. For further information, call 713-503-2633.
The only way to have a truly fair election is if everyone votes. Get involved and make your vote count. Ballots for the 2010 local station board were mailed the week of August 15th. A separate mailing that includes information on all the candidates will be mailed the week of August 22nd. Tune in to KPFT every morning from August 23rd to August 27th from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. and hear the candidates speak about their ideas for KPFT. Join us on Sunday, August 29th from 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. for the first of two community candidate forums. Both will be located at the Houston Institute for Culture at 708C Telephone Road. For more details, go to www.kpft.org. Keep KPFT healthy and thriving. Vote.
And you are listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, with our listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org.
You can do what you want, as long as you keep to yourself. You can be who you are, as long as it's somewhere else. If a sign says life, you must do what's expected. After all, it's our way of life to protect it. So we follow the obvious, blind leading the blind. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's a paint by number, predictable situation. A black and white world with technicolor implications. Move to the rhythm of a different drum. One steps out and they all come undone. They try to ignore the things that they can't define. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes. Well, they'll try to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. The only time they look your way is when you mess with their precious designs. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. It's not about how you look, it's just your appearance. No, it's not about what you say, it's just how they hear it. Speak out of turn, they put a mark on the page. Say too much, you'll be feeling their rage. You must conform to what they all decide. 'Cause no one cares until you color outside the lines. When it's not picture perfect and you dare to be different, that's when they open their eyes. Well, they'll try to deny it, then try to hide it by covering up what they find. The only time they look your way is when you mess with their precious designs. And no one cares until you color outside the lines. They don't like
shades of the pictures that you choose. And your abstract style's just a bit too wild, to say the least, and not amused. Now don't let them stop you, don't let them tell you that you're not doing it right. Cause no one cares until you cover outside the lines. No one cares until you cover the down into down and dirty song. Here's a dirty song. Perversity, obscenity, can it be? What he sees is me. And you love your daddy when he sings and raises arms like dirty wings and soars into bondage like it's sky. And it's okay if I die, choking on his lullaby, telling me I'm right, and that together we've both got hold of my. He tells me I've gone to sea. That's okay, it just means I'm growing things. I'm a blister on his soul, and he touches me, although it stings. And you love your daddy when he sings and raises arms like dirty wings and soars into your body like it's sky. And it's okay if I die, choking on his lullaby, telling me I'm right, and that together we both got hold of my mind. As my own cries, geographies of open lies and bodies that can't seem to rise, but they shoot a man who even tries. And no hope is a religious right that lost its garden to Friday night. Sit down here on my splintered pile, I'll tell you how to make a Denver. That's just a king they killed. You say you ain't ready, boy, but pretty soon you will. But you will love your daddy when he sings and raises arms like dirty wings and soars in. Day, like it's
Dudley Saunders, Did Bird Fly. I changed it. I don't know what y'all had put in. Before that was Nick Granato, Color Outside the Lines. You've also heard before that Martin Swinger, Ragtime Cowboy Joe. And, of course, Elton John, which we only play when a family member comes back after a while. And we did that, too, for Lisa. So, welcoming her back. This is After Hours Queer Radio with Attitude, KPFT. Back to Gigi now.
Ah, yes. We're here doing leather. It's leather night. And one of my favorites. While we were on break, we talked a little bit more outside and brought up the re-examine the women in leather and about ordeal paths and groups. You want to speak to some of the groups that are out there for women?
I can tell you a couple of them. There's Austin, has Bound by Desire. There's also the Dyke Uniform Corps, and I know there are deals that you can go through, and they vary from person to person. But those are two groups for women.
And, of course, there's Whip Society. And
yes. Great pansexual group. So.
But it's pansexual. But so some are women only and some are mixed.
Yes. And also I wanted to, we also talked about NLA Houston and our...
Spring Iniquity.
Yes, we have Spring Iniquity coming up. Brady, you want to tell us the dates?
All right.
And what it is.
Well, Spring Iniquity is April 15th through the 17th, 2011. It's a celebration of, well, this time around it's going to be the celebration of NLA Houston's 20th anniversary.
Oh, wow.
it's going to be quite fun.
It's going to be a great event. There's going to be a lot of presenters. We have Guy Baldwin this year.
All right.
Guy Baldwin is going to be the keynote speaker this year. We're also going to have Master Malik and Slave Kathy, Dart, Master Oliver, and Pup Sparky. And we're going to have some leather history panel co-presenting Caro, Sir Gray, and Master Chess.
Oh, wow.
So it's going to be a great
event.
Quite
a lineup.
Yes, it's going to be a full weekend of education, demos, and a lot of fun. So
yeah.
We're looking forward to it.
Any play parties?
Yes, we're going to have...
Yes. I believe it is booked at Barton Creek. Hotel. I can't remember which one. It's off of the link is off of the NLA Houston website, which is www.nlahoustontx.org. There's a link right at the top.
And you can go and register. We started early registration.
Yes.
So you can go ahead and start getting the early bird special. And
yeah.
And we'll have people from all over the United States attending, so we're looking forward to it. It's great to have that big of an event here in Houston. And
oh, it is.
For a lot
really
of people
great.
who can't travel to go to some of the other events, so we get to actually bring this home, and looking forward to the celebration.
Yeah.
But also we were talking about, too, with the Fresh Leather Group, going over some of the history and the traditions, and one of the reasons why we want to do that and also have the mentors available. So we lost so many during the AIDS pandemic.
Yeah.
We lost a lot of the people, and so they're really important to me. I lost a lot of friends and family members, and I know that's... We lost a lot of history. We lost a lot of people that would have been able to pass on that information and their knowledge. So we've also had the museum and archives that are trying now to store that information and hold interviews so we don't continue to lose it, so we can actually maintain that and retain it and pass that on to the newer generations that are coming in. And so Fresh Leather will also provide and contribute to celebrating those that we've lost, their history, and also give opportunity for those that are still around to come in and talk and share their stories.
Yeah. And that's so important.
It is.
I mean, I know that in the bi community and in the gay and lesbian community, so many really awesome people were lost due to the AIDS pandemic. You know, I
kind of reflect sometimes on how different the world would be if they were still around doing what they did back then. It is really quite a loss, not just to our community, but I think to the whole world.
Yeah.
I do too. And it is great to also go to these events and to be able to honor those that have succumbed to HIV/AIDS, but also those who have passed in war, and to continue our leather path with that honor and that integrity and discipline, not just for ourselves, but also in their honor as well.
Oh, yes, yeah. Totally. Moving along, one of the things Ann and I are going to be moving into real soon, we're kind of discussing probably starting this in November. We're going to be doing a teachings class on learning domination skills. I wrote a book called The Dominance Handbook.
Yeah, it's a great book.
An intimate guide to BDSM. And in the book, I not only cover the physical,
but the psychological.
But the psychological. Oh,
that was a really good component. Important.
And even, you know, I've gone to so many things in the leather community, and whenever people do even mention the psychological, they say, watch out for emotional landmines. Don't trip them, you know. But beyond that, you don't have a lot of it. There's not a lot of information about what to do in a crisis if one comes up, or how to avoid a crisis situation, which is even better.
Yes, yes.
So one that, you know, my background was in social work, and I worked on a mobile crisis unit for four and a half years.
Mm-hmm.
Senior lead on the team. after 6 months, because most people didn't last more than 6 months in the mobile crisis unit. And I had a special training in my graduate program on crisis intervention. So one of the things I put together in the book, and I also offer it as a free module, is a module on crisis intervention. How to avoid crisis, and then if one does come up, what steps do you take? How do you identify a crisis? So it's really important information.
It is.
Because it's just a lot of people have no idea what to do.
I worked crisis hotlines before. I've worked at shelters and been involved with that, and also in college. Psychology. Took a lot of classes, and also in social work. And it's really important when you're defining boundaries and setting up negotiations, whether it's for play or in the DS relationship, to be cautious of what kind of worms you open up.
And how to
proceed in the scene or the relationship, whatever dynamic you establish.
Mm-hmm.
What you are truly trained to deal with.
Yeah.
What you're wanting to work on, and if you can't within that relationship, seek outside sources to help.
And that's one of the things I do in the crisis intervention module, is have a list of who to contact for assistance, so you're not on your own.
Correct.
You can get help,
mm-hmm.
Both here in Houston and in any major city. Most major cities have some form of crisis hotline. They can be very helpful when something like that comes up.
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, they can.
Fortunately, I've never had to use them, but but they are there if it's ever needed.
Yes, and then we also have the Montrose Counseling.
Montrose Counseling Center, mm-hmm. And also... I forget some of the other resources, but there's quite a number of mm-hmm. resources available here.
Absolutely.
That can help out. I also do a segment on suicide intervention, because we live in the world.
Right.
Yeah.
I've noticed in the BDSM community, from time to time, you get someone that's really out to harm themselves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're attracted to it because part of them doesn't want to live anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's rare, but it does occur. So I do have a suicide intervention module
also.
That's good. Not that anybody wants it, but to happen to
it's
them.
A fact
but
of life.
If you have the tools available, then you know what to do.
It's one of those things that just happens. I mean, we had all sorts of stuff like that when I was in the Navy. You know, you get some people that, you know, they just, things that are seen cannot be unseen. Things that are experienced, you can't undo. And you just have to learn how to cope and process. And that's one of those things that, you know, you just have to learn to do. And it's a very important part of, you know, learning and growing and being a friend. You know, being there for somebody is...
Yeah. The other thing I cover in both these modules is myths. And a lot of myths around suicide and around crisis. And give the evidence that these are myths and these are the facts. And
mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying.
But I put it all in layman's terms, so there's no psychological jargon.
Well, love
or
about
very
you.
Little.
Yes, I love your book because it really, and throughout all the segments of your book, all the components in it, I love the way that you talk about the myths and the facts.
Yeah. And, you know, that's the class we'll be teaching for domination skills. It is a skill set. It's something that we have to learn. I learned it the hard way, by trial and error.
I think we've all said that.
Yeah. And that's partly why I wrote the book, because I've never seen anything like this out there. And I thought, you know, we need a guide. We need to start putting something together so we don't all have to go through the school of hard knocks and learn the hard way. There are some step-by-step things we can do and step-by-step skills we can develop. And I, throughout the book, I have exercises you do at home by yourself or with a mentor to help develop some of your skill sets as a dom, as a player.
Mm-hmm. I think we have a lot of new people coming into different cross sections of the community, BDSM mm-hmm. community, and they don't know where to start, where to begin. And if you don't have a mentor, if you haven't found the right person yet to work with, this is a wonderful class because you cover so much in your book, and which is the basics for the classes are going to be doing. So.
Yeah, and I cover everything from anatomy to CBT, cock and ball torture, to knife edge play, to fire play, to
caning, and how you flogging, and different toys and elements, and just really a great
program. And I give tips on how to learn and develop these skills.
And you get to actually practice and at those skills in during the class after the segment. So.
Yeah.
And you know, one thing I like to do in class, it's kind of one of my philosophies in BDSM, I'm a switch, and I never do something as a dom that I haven't experienced as a sub first, because I want to know what it's about before I do it to somebody.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that's so important. So part of this class is to give people a trial period to try out new things they haven't done before. I've even had people do sounds or needle play that have never done it before. But I go step by step how to do it safely, and then they practice on me, and it's like all of a sudden they go, wow, I'm not going to hurt somebody accidentally. I can do this.
Well, I think there's risk in everything that we do, but there's no reason to take unnecessary risk. So that's why I like the safety components of each component of your book and each training segment, because you do cover this, all the protocols, the safety, and how to do it properly.
Yeah.
And then also
how you can incorporate that into your play activities. It's really great.
And the other thing I do in the book is for psychological or even physical check-in, to do it within the context of the scene, mm-hmm. so you don't interrupt the flow of the scene.
That's really good, too.
Because I've seen so many times when the Dom will stop the scene and, you know, just...
It kind of stops the flow.
The flow to check in, and you don't have to do it that way unless you want to.
Right. Another thing I really liked, we were talking about the psychological, but it was the humiliation component, which was great because it really... encourages the dominant to use their imagination, mm-hmm. but also how to do it properly.
Yeah.
So it's cathartic instead of degrading and causing more harm, because I've seen humiliation used improperly.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed that segment.
Oh, well, thanks. Because, you know, one of the things I love a good dom is a sub. I mean, I treasure them. And they're hard to find out
there
sometimes. I've run into more bad doms than really good ones. Now, when you get a good one, they can read your body language. They can tell exactly where to take you.
Yes.
To where you're flying, and you can no longer communicate anymore. You're flying so high. And it's only with a good dom that I'll allow myself to go to that headspace.
And that's that trust and that communication.
Exactly. So I want more good doms out there, because I love lots of play partners.
We need more good doms. And another thing we had talked about, too.
But before we move on,
sure.
For those that are interested in the class, we'll be starting it in November. You can contact me at buyhouse@comcast.net. That's B-I-H-O-U-S-E, because I'm bisexual and I live in a bi house. My wife's bi. And it's through our cable of Comcast. So.
Okay, and you also can contact me, too, and I'm at ravenmoonshadow@yahoo.com. And it's R-A-V-E-N, moon, M-O-O-N, yahoo.com.
So email us if you're interested. We do have a charge for the class. You can either take it. Each class will be approximately 3 hours long. It's $20 for the class. Or if you want to do the whole series, we'll have a...
We'll set up a flat rate.
Set up a flat rate for that.
We can get a discount. And for those who purchased the whole workshop, all the classes, were you going to provide them a free book?
Yes. Those that purchase the entire class get a free book, copy of the book.
That's
and
awesome.
It is an e-book. It's not a printed book. So.
I bet you can still throw in an autograph there.
Oh, yeah. I can either do it digitally or in person if you print it up.
I want one in person.
I'll do it.
We were talking also earlier about safety protocols for submissives as dominants, because used to the submissives, you know, we had safe calls and certain procedures, but now we're also looking at safety for the dominants.
Exactly.
As well. And so I know that we're going to be covering that, too, in the classes coming up.
And that's so important because, you know, I know when I the first time I dommed, you know, I was letting out the monster inside, this vicious, nasty, sadist part of me. And it was a few hours after the scene, I thought, oh, I was so cruel in that scene. And I started... You know, the mind talk started going.
Mm-hmm.
And then I finally snapped and I said, okay, I need to call somebody and talk to them about this. How do I address these feelings? What do I do with this?
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I was feeling like, ooh, what I did to that person. They loved it, but still.
But it touched something in yourself.
It touched something in myself. How could I allow myself to be that way?
And we talk about aftercare with, you know, for our submissives, but a lot of times the places that we take them can really, you know, strike a chord within us too.
Yeah.
And push us beyond our limits, our boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's good to have a mentor or some friends, somebody who are close to you, that you can talk about these feelings and these thoughts that come up. So sometimes a dominant needs aftercare as well.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And I'm glad you mentioned aftercare, because some of the most healing part of the scene that I've gotten was during the aftercare. Some of the more nurturing and connecting at a much deeper kind of emotional level.
A lot of people think of aftercare as a bottle of water or a blanket, yeah, this little cuddle, and it is so much more than that.
It's much more than that.
You know, sometimes the scenes can be very intense and very mm-hmm. cathartic, and having someone to process the emotions or the imagery that comes up during a scene or after the scene is so important that you have an opportunity to really process that.
That time for gentle touch.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've said this many, many times on this show. A human infant will die without human touch. We transfer something very critical to life.
Mm-hmm.
As adults, I think it's critical to both physical and emotional health to receive that touch. Yet we live in a touch-deprived society.
I'm glad you brought that up, because we do talk about taboos,
yeah,
and how to overcome certain taboos when we transition from these ordinary, or, well, I hate to use vanilla, I hate using these terms, but in the community, BDSM community, and overcoming a lot of these different taboos that we bring with us from our socialization. And I really like that aspect of the classes that we're going to be doing.
Yeah. Because we do touch, we explore. I like doing classes interactive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like to stand up and lecture. The way I'm going to be teaching the courses, I want to have people read the materials ahead of time and then come in, and we're going to discuss, have a discussion, and even some role play and some enactment, where you actually participate and develop these skills as part of the class.
That's great.
So it's partly, you know, there's different forms of learning. One is academic, where you read something and then you recite it. Now, this goes deeper than that. It's interactive learning. It's experiential learning.
Mm-hmm.
This is really kind of a weird side note, but I had this guy one time. He said, "Well, I'm not bisexual." And I said, "Well, have you ever tried it?" And he said, "No, I would never try anything like that." And I said, "Then you don't know that whether you're bisexual or not. You have a preconceived notion that you are not. But if you haven't experienced it, you don't know what you're talking about." Well, I lost touch with him for a couple of years, and he came back to me one day. And he said, "Guess what? I tried it. And I love it." And I said, "See, there's a big difference in knowing something from academic knowledge or through thought processes and experiential learning."
Yes.
From having actually experienced something for yourself.
Yes. And that's, I think, a lot of what we do is it's experiential. It's definitely. All hands-on, and I really enjoy that. And the workshops are great, because you have that educational component, you have the demo, you have the hands-on, getting to practice it,
mm-hmm.
and there's just so much involved in these workshops. It's just full of information. So
yeah.
Anyone new, or even those
even
who've been,
that,
people have been around for yeah. years, I mean, I went to your classes when you first got started, and
yeah.
and there was still some great information in there. I still took a lot from it. So,
So
even if you have lots of years' experience, this is great opportunity to come in and even share with the other people mm-hmm. that are new some things that have worked or haven't worked, or maybe share some of your mistakes or challenges yeah. that you've overcome too.
Well, so. One of the things I'm really proud of in the book is the components on developing headspace. Because that I've never seen addressed. How do you develop the headspace of a dom or a sub?
Mm-hmm.
How do you develop the headspace of humiliation play? How do you get into that mind frame?
Yes.
And that's some of the things I cover in the classes. How to get there. Not just, well, you put on these clothes and you, or this outfit, and you get your whip and then
right.
you get into it. No, I go step by step on how to get into the headspace, not just in the physical space.
Right. I think there's whether you're dominant or submissive has a lot to do with who you are as an individual and your personality. But I also know some wonderful submissives who are very dominant in their profession and other aspects of their life, but really enjoy and are wonderful.
The control.
Yes, it's just amazing. Yeah. They're really excellent submissives. Still very strong and powerful in that role.
Yeah. In fact, I've knew a guy that was in a very dominant role in his life, and he loved being submissive because it gave him a break from that.
Mm-hmm.
He could just give up control and not have to be in control.
Right.
And have that time to just play.
Mm-hmm.
And
it'd be very freeing.
Very freeing, very healing in certain ways.
Very much so.
It's letting go of all the stress, because whenever you're in control, there's a certain amount of stress attached
absolutely
to that.
So I also talking about developing that mindset depending on whether it's humiliation, whatever you're going to be doing. We had talked earlier about ritual.
Yeah.
I know for myself, in incorporating or developing a certain scene, there are certain rituals that I do in preparing myself to do a particular scene.
Oh, me too. I mean, and one thing I always do is I have a ritual bath or shower before a scene, every time, before I play. It's a must-do thing.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that ritual shower is cleansing not just the physical body but the spiritual body, preparing my mind and my spirit for this experience that's coming up.
Right, and finding that balance, equilibrium, not just before or in developing, but in getting into that space, but also afterwards.
Getting into the fetish wear, it's like, and what happens, I found, and I talk about this a little bit in the book, is that we build triggers, or another word for it would be neural net pathways in the brain. What happens is once you repeat a behavior over and over again, the mind says, okay, this is coming up enough. We're going to hardwire it in, not just have it.
Yes.
And so now I can just take my ritual bath, get into my fetish wear, and I'm just about in that right headspace.
Yes.
Because it's become a neural net pathway to the brain.
I know many submissives, as soon as, I mean, they wear their collar 24/7, but as soon as those cuffs go on or as soon as that rope gets brought out, I mean, they already start going into a mild,
salivating at the mouth.
But their mindset's already changing, and it's already getting into that mild trance state. I mean, it's very, very, mild.
Oh, really?
But that's a trigger.
and it's a trigger in a good way. I mean, a lot of times we see on movies where they're using triggers for really nasty purposes.
Right.
But this is a trigger. It's like, think about it this way. If you had to concentrate on everything you were doing when you drove a car, like when you first learn how to drive a car, we'd have 25,000 more wrecks on the road.
Have you been in Houston?
By making it an automatic function where you don't have to spend so much concentration on, how much to press the gas pedal, how much to press the brake, how to, all the ins and outs that we first had to go through to learn to drive a car, by having it an automatic function, we can be more aware of our surroundings.
Yes.
And more aware of the things that help with safety.
And that's what happens, I think, with BDSM. Our experiences become more integrated.
Mm-hmm.
Because we make those neural connections.
In this sense, triggers are a very good thing.
Yes. It's amazing how the brain and the body works all together.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think, did either of y'all have anything more that you wanted to cover?
Just contact us on our emails and go to NLA Houston's site.
And if you're interested in the Dominance Handbook, go to myravenslayer.com.
That's MYRAVENSLAIR .com.
And you can go to RavenMoonShadow at yahoo.com. And then, Brady, you said you want to give NLAs?
Yes, it's www.nlahoustontx.org. And the FetLife group is www.fetlife.com. You can search for NLA Houston Fresh Leather, and it'll pop up. And join the group. Come on out. Get involved. It's great fun.
Well, thanks, both of y'all,
for having us on the show.
All right, we're going to put a little music in your ear. Then coming up, it's Doug with our MBB letters, and followed up by the Roundtable. You're listening to After Hours, and this button.
Hey, guess who? I rode the short bus. Hey, guess who? I wore cowboy boots to school. Hey, guess who? My hair was big and my skin sucked. Hey, guess who? Eat my lunch alone. I was the last one picked for the team. Shirt to skin, you know you couldn't find me. I got a blue ribbon at the science fair. I wasn't cool enough, I wasn't hip enough for your clique to share. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am. You beat me up when I was 10. So what? I played with dolls. I played with dolls. So what? I played with dolls. I played with dolls. I played with dolls. I played with dolls. You got straight A's while I was trying not to fail. You were at the dance. I was home watching Barbara Mendel. The yearbook called you the most likely to succeed. While I was sick that day, my photo's nowhere to be seen. I am the freak, I am the fag, I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am the nerd, you beat me up when I was 10. So what? I played with dolls, I played with dolls. So what? I played with dolls, I played with dolls, I played with dolls. Hey, guess who? You don't remember me. Hey, guess who? You're singing to my song right now. You see that you all have to pay for this bird. It's true what they say. The meek shall inherit the earth. I am the freak, I am the fag. I am the weirdo one you couldn't stand. I am the geek, I am.
He plays with dolls. You? What do you think?
Nah. I think you're dreaming of things.
I wish I was a doll.
Correct dolls.
They don't say, but you know, his picture here doesn't do him justice.
Let me see.
There, and then he's behind.
Man, it's too whitewashed.
Well, I think there's another picture of him in here. There's a cute picture of him find on the internet where he's in a bellhop suit.
Bellhop?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
He is also an actor. It's Kevin Cahoon and the Ghetto Cowboy.
I'd bounce him on my knee.
And he...
yeah, you'd bounce nearly everybody on your knee.
And he did a couple of TV things. He was on some special on AMC, I think, or something.
Of course, there's somebody standing behind me that I wouldn't mind bouncing on my knee either. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud?
Yes, as usual.
I'm Yeah, I'm quite.
He says he's a naughty boy too. Mm.
I was so impressed with you, Wester, because when you were following his scar, I was quite. I'm surprised that you stopped at the equator there.
Well, I know you. I know
so
he was here.
Off, so you could.
I know. I almost did, but you know.
Do it. It replaces the happy trail.
All right.
I'll be back in a couple minutes.
Jimmy, someone's going to need to borrow the key to the...
Jimmy, you got your knee pads here tonight?
No, the key to the library.
That too.
All right, it's time now for our MBB letters, and we've got Doug here.
Hey, Dougie.
Hey, I didn't have time to transcribe all these, but I did transcribe the poems, so I won't stutter over them.
First of all, let me check here. We've got ones that are an exchange between two of them. Are we going to read those or not?
We are not going to read those. I don't think that that would be a good thing. And number one, it's not really an exchange. One of the inmates sent us a forward plus envelope. The other one sent us an envelope in case the other inmate sent us a forward plus envelope. So it's kind of like they both had the same idea, but...
Two empty envelopes passing in the night.
Yes. Well, actually, one has a letter to go in it, and the other one was just in case he sent a letter without an envelope to send it forward. I think it was actually a sweet thought both ways.
So we'll be playing post office later on.
Oh, well, yeah. And spin the bottle, too, by the way. Well, Liz is already spinning something. I don't think it's a bottle, but it's got roughly that shape at the neck.
Pretty close.
Mm-hmm. Our first letter tonight comes in two pieces. DB out of Rosharon, Stringfellow Unit, sent us two letters. One, by the way, and I'm doing this specifically this way so that he'll know that I got both of them. One of them was written 18 August and postmarked 19th August, and the other one was written 23 August and postmarked 24 August, and Daryl, I got both letters. Now, I have so many letters tonight, guys, that I'm going to hit high points. I will recognize that you sent a letter. I will answer the questions that I personally am capable of answering. Some of the questions have been answered before, and I'll get to that in a minute. I will re-answer them as best as I remember. Oh, and for the inmate that referred to a poem before Doug started reading the poems, I don't have that poem. I'm sorry. It's somewhere in the Great Jimmy archives, and I will ask him again to see if he can dig it out. But I don't have it tonight, so I cannot reread that poem over the air. Any poems you sent that I have read are typed into my little laptop, and if you want to refer back to those, I just simply have them here ready to rock and roll. Hello, Chris, Jimmy, and Judy, and I hope you are all received doing fine. I'm back in the home front Stringfellow unit. I've missed all of you, as well as the after-hour show. And we're glad you're back listening to us. Please, thank you, Daryl, for returning. And you sent Jimmy a long, long letter. You asked him a lot of questions. And no offense, I'm going to let Jimmy read this letter tonight and answer it next time. And I'm not trying to avoid you, but Doug doesn't know the answer to some of the questions you've asked him. And no offense.
Oh, come on. Jimmy's such an... here, speak of the open book.
Oh, there's our open book.
What
I'm sorry.
Jimmy?
Well, this guy asked you a lot of questions.
Yeah.
So I'm going to pass Daryl's letters over to you, and you take the rest of the time while I'm... if you can find an answer to any of his questions.
Okay.
And I'm going to go on with Jorge while you sit there and sweat. I love Jimmy sweating. It's one of my favorite things.
He glistens.
Jorge, I have what you sent me to forward and the thing to forward it with. Just FYI. And my warmest hellos to all you. This letter is done with all due respect and sincerity. See enclosed, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, to D.C., and that's not a problem. Jimmy or somebody will handle that.
What?
The forwarding.
Yeah.
I've got it right here for you to handle.
Okay.
How's that for an answer?
Works.
Yeah, works. We'll handle it. We'll take care of it. We'll see what we can do. I think that pretty much, no matter what, he'll be in touch from here. And when he goes home, at most latter half of 2011, I'll be coming by to see us. And we look forward to meeting you. And yes, we understand misspelling people's names. Trust me, Jorge. The fact that you misspelled it is not an issue. We'll figure it out. I don't know if... Was the White House tore down as well as
what?
Steam? You know when they built the apartments over here? He's referring back to last week's letter.
Oh, you mean Dirty Sally's or...
It was Steam at one point, I think.
Whatever. Yeah. There was a lot of things.
But there was also a White House there. Was it tore down as well?
That was the house.
Oh, okay. Yes, Jorge, it's gone.
Oh, yeah.
That answers your question.
There's 5 townhouses on that property now.
Yeah. That is an interesting...
Unfriendly townhouses.
Yeah. Very unfriendly townhouses. Yeah. They tow us every chance they get.
Oh, yes.
We can send you a picture of that, possibly. That block, Jorge, that will be absolutely a Jimmy thing.
Well, Jimmy, you're the one of us with most experience with the Postal Service.
I beg your pardon.
You babysat Ben Franklin.
Deep cover. We got your envelope. It's not necessary. We'll hold on to it in case something happens in the near future that we need to send you a missive from somebody else. And it will get used, I promise. But we will hold on to that envelope because the other thing came with an envelope. Well, Jimmy, I'm sorry to hear about your swollen prostate. But I know a cure for that. Oh. Too bad I'm not there to help you out.
Well, who is this from?
This is from Deep Cover.
I see. Why, thank you very much.
I know a cure for that, too. I bet it's the same cure. Mm-hmm. But you'll be okay. Also, I get your card from Canada.
Ah, good. Somebody finally mentioned the...
It took a while to catch up to me.
Yeah, I sent 4 guys cards.
Yeah, and another person mentioned a card also, and they got it.
Okay,
I'll figure
good.
Out who it is in
good.
Just a minute if you give me a second. So that's 2 of your cards that showed up that we know about.
Good.
Yes, he did write you, and yes, that's coming. Don't worry about it.
And while we're on the subject and the guys are listening, in case they missed the beginning of the show, Judy has finally, for the 3 guys who sent pictures and wanted them back, Judy has, I finally got the pictures to Judy and she...
Scanned.
Yeah, she scanned them and I'll be sending those pictures back to you guys.
Okay. Deep Baby, I am fixing to read your missives, the ones that I can handle the best. So just hang on a second. Let me put this in its due place. Oh, by the way, I do type up all the poems that come in, and I save them to my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
And he's wanting me to reread something called My Precious.
Okay.
It's at your house in your archives.
Okay.
If you will find that.
I can do that. It's right on my desk.
I will be happy to read it. Again.
Mm-hmm.
First poem is labeled Doom, and these are dedicated to an inmate that I will read that dedication at the end of both poems. Doom, sitting alone in my cell on death row, watching time and wishing it would slow, but it keeps moving right along. The days coming fast, and then they're gone. And I know it won't be that much more longer till the old warden calls out my number, and they'll come and shave off my long hair and strap me into that old scarred-up chair. Preacher man whispering to me about his God, and inside I'm scared but refuse to let them see me sob, as they all march out of the room to pull that switch labeled Doom.
Nice. For a somber subject matter, it was a...
Oh, well, here's the second of the two. Just waiting to die. The minutes and hours fly, days come and then just as quick they're gone by, just waiting to die. The good book says it's eye for an eye. In court that message was relayed, life for life is what I'll have to pay. Alone I kneel and pray to a vengeful God with nothing to say. Both of those poems were dedicated to his friend Jerry Mack, sentenced to death row last year, December 2009.
Okay. This is Daryl, right? I'm reading.
Yeah. Yes.
Daryl. I sent Daryl two postcards. One was a 3D, and after I sent it, I thought, sometimes the prison mailroom will not allow things like specialty cards and maybe a 3D postcard because they're afraid that somebody has put drugs in it or something. So I sent him a regular one after that, and that was the first week in... When was that? The first week in August, when I was in Vancouver. So it was at the end of the first week in April that I sent the postcards. But it's coming from Canada, so just because one person got it last week doesn't mean another person won't get theirs next week, because
postal service... coming from Vancouver, Canada, they're going to definitely suspect drugs in it.
Yeah, see. So.
Our next letter is a first-timer. So I'm going, and it's only about a half a page long, so I'm going to read the whole letter. Bear with me, gentlemen. Hello, Jimmy, Judy, Chris, Crest. I hope I didn't leave anyone out of the cast. If I did, it was not on purpose. This is only my third time listening into the show. I wrote before it, but it seems to me that black males do not write to you all at all or often, not to play the race card. I was just wondering, I listened to the show this morning and I liked it. The letters, news, also the information. While listening to the show, I heard one of the last members stated he lived in Waco, Texas for 2 years. Who was living in Waco, Texas for 2 years? I remember the statement.
I remember that.
It must have been one of the people here on the show or one of the inmates?
No, no, no. It's one of the inmates.
Oh.
Oh, was it?
Well, it felt like I was doing time when I was in Waco.
Remember,
it was you that said you were living in Waco.
No, no, no. We talked about this because... The MBB was in a facility that was very close to Waco, and we were surprised that he could hear us.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm from Waco, born and raised, and I was surprised to hear that he stayed in Waco is not part of the After Hours cast, so I guess that clarifies that.
Okay.
Do you know where David's is located downtown?
I don't know anything about Waco. I've never been there.
David's, I don't think, is open anymore. That was the first gay bar I actually went into.
Ooh. Well,
I went back on vacation to Waco.
That's what he said. It's a gay bar I used to go to sometimes.
Yeah. It was a very funny thing about that gay bar, because it was right across the street from a Baptist school, so there was no signs outside telling you that it was a gay bar.
Oh, cute.
So the only way I found it was I rolled down my window and listened for the disco music. And I go, that must be the building.
Yeah, disco, gay bar, imagine that.
And the twisted, like I said, that was the first gay bar I ever went into. And then the second night I went there, they had a court event. So everyone's dressed up fancy. And, you know, the bartenders are all wearing tuxedo jackets. And I'm sitting at a table going, what the hell is going on? So I'm not sure if they're still open or not.
I guess I misunderstood the beginning of this letter, because apparently he has written before. But anyway, in my last letter I requested you all for a pen pal, but it seems to be a problem. There may be a problem on that matter. They do scan read our mail, and if we go through a second party, we have to be real discreet about how we would all do that.
Oh, yeah.
Only thing would be a stamp. They'll just return to sender. Well, I was checking in. I hope I gave you a little insight. Side on the mail issue. I'll be waiting for the show this weekend. Y'all take care. Yours truly, Bradley. That's one.
Are you at a stopping point?
Well, yeah, actually, I have another letter, one more, but you can interrupt me at this point.
We do have to step out here for a moment and do our PSAs on top of the hour. We'll be back in just a moment with a wrap-up of the MBB letters, and then roundtable. We'll be right back.
On August 16th, ballots will be sent to qualified members to participate in this year's local station board election process. Voters are encouraged to research all information presented by candidates, to ask questions of candidates and staff, and to be informed voters in the interests of a better Pacifica. If you think you're a member eligible to vote in your local station board election, and you should have received a ballot but do not, you still have time. contact our local elections supervisor, Kathy Kidd, at LES_KPFT@Pacifica.org. Please help researching your membership by sharing any supporting membership information you have. Check PacificaElections2010.org to learn more about the issues. Keep an eye on your mailbox. Your ballot should be arriving shortly. This is KPFT Houston.
My name is Kevin White. I'm running for the local station board. Many of you may not be aware of it, but Pacifica's in dire financial trouble. At KPFT, listenership is down. Revenue has been dropping, and the foundation is at a crossroads. We are in crisis. If KPFT wants to survive, we need better programming. KPFT's mission is supposed to be educational, and we're not living up to that mission. Our management is out of touch, and our programming is stagnant. With war on two fronts, with the promise of a third, how does KPFT dare call itself Radio for Peace and then just play a bunch of banjo music? Our station literally fiddles while Rome burns. To survive, KPFT needs to stop being hee-haw radio. We should be human rights radio. And we need to back that up with exciting new shows. My name is Kevin White. A vote for me is a vote for change.
This candidate statement is property of the author only and not KPFT or Pacifica. This is 90.1 KPFT Houston, 89.5 in Galveston.
And you're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/afterhours. Join up, be a friend. I think we're over 300 by now.
Mm-hmm.
On that, you'll get to find out our music video of the week, and also our get a little heads up on the some of the topics of the show that we've got on here.
We have topics.
Well, when it
we do.
When it comes to, you know, we tell them what, you know.
I'm teasing.
What I know of what we're going to be having on the show that night. I try and do these Friday night. And then some of the roundtable topics that I've picked up since then of what we got.
Well, in the few years that I personally have been listening to this show, and few is kind of like Jimmy's young, I've often thought After Hours covered the particulars of our demographics very well.
We try and cover as you know as you much know, as we can, and if we don't,
contrary to what PSAs may have been aired just recently, I think that our particular. I'm not talking about that.
Okay, in this letter Daryl, he was telling me that, you know, his Sally, who is now his ex Sally, is drawing an angel picture for me, and poor guy.
I bet it's beautiful.
Now, well, the poor guy now has poison ivy, and it's all over his fingers, and he can't do any drawing right now. Oh, that must be awful. Can you imagine?
We'd have to. Yeah.
Yeah, all the.
I can't think of anything worse than poison ivy.
Yeah, I know. The itching on your fingers. Ooh, and in between. Ooh,
well, and don't touch anywhere else because that stuff spreads.
I
it's
know.
An oil.
And how do you keep your hands away from the rest of your body? I mean, you touch your body with your hands.
The only way I'd know of would be put cream on them, then put on
rubber
vinyl
gloves. Vinyl gloves,
yeah. That would be just absolutely horrible.
Yeah, and I don't think these guys really can get rubber gloves, to tell you the truth. God, that must be awful. And in this heat, because they don't have air conditioning in these facilities. They don't.
I was just thinking about sweating with poison ivy.
Yeah.
That just causes it to spread even worse.
Yep. Wow.
That would be a miserable existence.
Did you finish all the letters?
No, I've got Blue-Eyed Devil to go.
Okay.
Greetings from behind the very sharp razor wire. Jimmy, you may or may not remember me. I first wrote your show in 98, Blue-Eyed Devil.
I know the man.
Uh-huh. See, Jimmy never forgets a man. He's in Rosharon finishing up loose ends. He's asked to hear the show, though it's not easy, from 12 to 4. He stands in his dorm cubicle with an antenna moving back and forth and around and stuff like that.
and everybody thinks he's lost his mind.
Our MBB listeners are the best.
Okay, you asked for a favor. Here's what I did. I went to the site that you mentioned, the prisonpenpals.com.
Uh-huh.
I entered in his number, 807-675, once I figured out where to enter it in. Mm-hmm. By the way, you have to get through the first page, a couple of pages, to find the search point.
Mm-hmm.
It's not right on the very beginning. Yes, your photo's on it. Yes, your information is on it. Mm-hmm. I checked. It appears to be correct.
Yeah.
And I was unfortunately using Linux, and the plug-in for that song playing ability was not in my browser.
Oh.
So there is a song tab on there.
Oh, really?
And it may actually work, but I didn't have the ability to listen to it, but there is a button for it. So the answer is your song may be there. If anybody would like to write to him,
mm-hmm.
you go to prisonpenpals.com,
yeah.
enter the site, swear till you're 18, ignore the legal stuff just like I did, and click on through.
Yeah.
And then when it says search the site, you put in 807-675 and do a search. And yes, your picture pops up. Oh. You're blonde-haired, you're blue-eyed, and you very definitely look like you're from Conroe, Texas. At least you look like everybody I know from Conroe, Texas.
Oh, he is hot.
Okay, and yeah, your picture's there, so not a problem. You have a great morning, and thank you for listening to us every Sunday. Sincerely, Blue-Eyed Devil Randy. I'm out. That's the last of the prison MBB. Thanks.
Do you have some questions you want to were able to answer?
I got to read this letter further. It's a very long letter, so.
Okay. Well, I guess I need to put on some music because none of the guys are in here.
Okay. Daryl, I'll hit you next week if I don't hit you before.
But reassure him, we did get both letters.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
We did. Finally. And it wasn't what you think. It just got hung up in the mail. You know, they're going broke, so the service is a little bit iffy these days. So, you know how that goes. But if you write it and expect it to be here on a certain day, sometimes that doesn't happen. The mail is slow coming to... A lot of times slow coming to the radio station. I know I've sent off for... music and all kinds of things, and I usually have to wait a lot longer than I expect to get it. So don't never fear. I don't think anybody in the mailroom's got it out for you that bad. So what kind of music are we going to hear?
I just got to make sure I... It's so hard playing songs from the CD. It's like I can't tell if we can play it or not.
And Daryl, you know, we've been here for... on September the 6th, which is just right around the corner, this show turns 23 years. And I've been here 22 and a half of them. So we've had lots of letters in the past. In fact, you're not the first to give me warnings about posers. And when we get a lot of the letters we get, I can kind of tell what's going on. So, don't fear. We got a system on this end. I know you're for real, and I know several other of the guys who write to us are for real. You know, it's the one-offs that you know you usually have to worry about. So,
all right, I've got something to.
Good.
Later. You know, I grabbed the Kinsey 6.
Uh-huh.
So it's kind of like, okay.
There's so many to choose from.
And so few we can play.
I know.
But I've seen the music video for this one.
Uh-huh.
The live performance of them.
I may have seen a live performance myself.
Yeah, well, this is one of their, off their new CD.
Oh, off their new CD.
Off
okay.
The new CD of Each Hit.
Each Hit.
And I.
Right.
So... This is All the Boys Singer Ladies, and we'll be back with Roundtable. Make sure I have the right buttons on these.
Okay.
All Boys Singer Ladies.
Jerry Springer Ladies.
All Boys Singer Ladies.
Corporal Klinger Ladies.
All Boys Singer Ladies.
Give the Finger Ladies.
give boy bands up. Now we're in the club, don't be a schmuck, 'cause we wear frocks when we sing. We shoot from the hip, so please don't trip when you hear the truth from me. Yes, she's a hip and he's a she. Live with the sexual tension. Don't waste your tears on straights or queers with confused sexuality.
Sister, you won't get a ring if he's mistaken a bit. If he never wants to put his ding-a-ling in it. And you think he's not a queen, I'll bet his sling on it. Put your ring finger down, 'cause his cock ring won't fit. Sister, you won't get a ring if he's missing a bit. If he never wants to put his ding-a-ling in it. Then you think he's not a queen, I'll bet his sling on it. Put your ring finger down, 'cause his cock ring won't fit.
I got gloss on my lips, but no child-bearing hips. No stereotype drag queen. Was in act up, I'd adjust my cup. Have sex for fries or a drink.
My memory's deficient, did I mention? My memory is deficient.
It's none of your concern. Give me what you earn, and I might just let you worship me.
And if you want to hear a song, then we can sing of it. But if you want to hear some more, then put some bling on it. Don't be mad, we're not free, go buy a ticket. If you want to hear us sing, then put ka-ching on it. Oh, 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 no refunds for our show. No, 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 oh, 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 no refunds for our show. No, 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 don't treat me like a freak who rock your world. I'm not that kind of girl. Respect is what I prefer, what I deserve. Don't need a man to make me, or to take me, or deliver me to my destiny. No, that fantasy's overblown.
Can't you see I'm fully grown? Yes, my CDs you can own.
As for me, I'm just on loan until there's manhunt and a phone.
All boy singer ladies,
we're free thinker ladies.
All boy singer ladies,
heavy drinker ladies.
All boy singer ladies,
need head shrinker ladies. All boy singer ladies, give our bands up.
Seems like one of us is dancing like a Klingon straight. Who is trying to imitate a drunken gringo hit? Just ignore the one who's dancing like her shoes don't fit. She should really see a doc about that ego bit. Seems like one of us is dancing like a Klingon straight. Who is trying to imitate a drunken gringo hit? Just ignore the one who's dancing like her shoes don't fit. She should really see a doc about that ego bit.
I don't know how quickly that song ends.
I know, right?
But yeah, that's that song, they have a live performance. Okay, start the song after I played it, and we're going to do talk. So I'm going to just get credit for the damn thing.
Yeah. Something like that.
Will the gentleman suspend the conversation in the hall?
Nice one.
I had to get in touch with my inner Pelosi on that.
Is that what they call that these days?
Strange, you think of making a comment like that, you'd think I would have been listening to C-SPAN. But, so where the hell's everybody else?
Well, three of them have already gone home, and there goes three more.
Well, the major reactionary just walked back in, so.
Yeah. Just remember what we told you.
I know, Right. I didn't realize I was just milking sacred cows. Let's keep going.
All right, let's,
So what we got tonight, Chris?
Sacred cows. We milk them.
This one is an interesting story because this topic also hit on Lone Star Activist Yahoo group and seemed to be all on Twitter about it.
Did they tweet on it?
I stopped reading some of that stuff.
Okay. Just checking.
Did they twit on it? Is the next
Well, this is the picture on this one is priceless. It has nothing to do with the actual article, but
yeah, I'll say
researchers at Texas Tech University looking into just what type of man enjoys either a Prince Albert or an ampelong piercing, found their average candidate wasn't a goffed-out, sex-crazed homo, but on average is a 31-year-old, white, heterosexual, college-educated, and earned more than $36,000 per year. The study of 445 men from 42 states and 26 countries reveals 82% of men with genital piercings are straight, 56% earn more than $45,000 a year, 74% had at least some college education, and 89% of them are white. Meanwhile, 100% have an abnormal tolerance for pain.
You know, it goes to the reaction. Nothing sharper than teeth, okay?
And that last line comes down to one word.
Ouch.
I don't think it was part of the actual study. I think it's part of Queer Tees.
Probably.
Who right now is one of our leading source. That's QUEERTY.com.
Quirky.
In the article, they called that as most guys sticking metal rods through their penises are neither gay nor stupid.
Well, that's a matter of lively discussion.
Isn't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Speaking of stupid people.
Matter of opinion.
Uh-oh.
Oh, and hey, look who walks in.
Fred. No, you were already sitting in here, Jose.
Fred.
Moving right along. Fred Phelps.
Fags ought to be thankful Westboro isn't charging them.
Oh, Lord.
Hell is the place where the worm eats on fags and the fire is never quenched. Indescribable pain. The Lord Jesus said that. And he knows because he has had a front row seat since the creation of Adam. What you need to do is get a Bible and look up Luke chapter 16. These fags are going to hell. Instead of squawking like crybabies, they ought to be thankful that at no expense to them, we've dedicated time and resources to preach to them. People said we are disturbing the peace. You don't understand. We've done 40,000 of these pickets, and we'd be in jail if we were disturbing the peace.
Well, you know, he got one thing backwards, though. He said the worm was eating the fags. It's not. The fags are eating the worm.
Yeah, well, that tequila
See,
bottle.
That no, honey. Different worm. Think lower.
That, too. I was trying to keep it clean.
You know, oddly,
I'm in here.
Oddly enough, there's nothing in Jesus' teachings about homosexuality either way. A lot of that comes from the letters of the apostles.
Well, from one apostle started with.
Yeah.
Paul. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, Paul never met the living Jesus. He was walking down the road, saw the now hiring sign around Judas's neck.
So that's where that 30th piece of silver went.
And to Judas?
And he... I'm exaggerating a little bit for comic
era. It's pretty expensive value. One ad.
But, you know, Craigslist wasn't around then.
Yeah, well, true.
No, they had Sanskrit at list.
In the past, it has been my most fervent experience that the people that bash on gay chat rooms the hardest when you start talking and chatting with them in private have homosexual feelings of their own that they are totally terrified of.
And not just that, they're pissed off. How dare you be able to express them and I can't.
Right, that's
it. I think it's the other part of it is that.
But
I have one thing to say to those people. Blow the closet door off.
Closets are for closed people. Come on now.
Or just blow me.
That too.
Okay, another Chris Hart friend.
Interesting case. You know, we hear a lot of stories of, especially now with the economic times we're in, of nonprofits trying to get any dollar they can to help their organization keep afloat. And here's a story of one that basically took principle over money. Ottawa police in Canada were just trying to do a good thing for groups like the Gay Men's Wellness Initiative by raising money with a pancake breakfast. Except the homos don't want their blood money. That's because gay advocates are furious with Ottawa cops' handling of the Stephen Paul Boone case, where a man was publicly outed as HIV positive in the name of, quote, public health. Anyone who had sex with this man were told they were at risk after Boone allegedly had unprotected exchanges with a slew of men without revealing his status, something that has him facing murder charges. Brent Bauer of the Ottawa Gay Men's Wellness Initiative I said Boone was charged but not convicted and was already in custody posing no threat to the public. Bauer said Ottawa's public health department should have handled the case. By releasing the photo, Bauer said, police invaded Boone's privacy and spread fear amongst gays who now may hesitate to get tested for AIDS. Bauer said the gay community was particularly galled when the police department refused to discuss changing their policy. Many believe the law regarding HIV-positive disclosure is flawed and guidelines are needed to help police decide whether to lay charges.
You know, there's a correction I'd like to make that article right quick. You don't test for AIDS. You test for HIV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
AIDS is simply declared after you've had two or more HIV-related diseases.
Yeah, but the fact is that these guys, that the police released information saying...
Yeah,
these
guys
not having this. Now, the story goes on. Not that the gay groups are really losing out on that much cash. The annual breakfast raised just a few $100s every year. But for folks like Jerry Kornstra, executive director of Bruce House, it's the politics behind it. Until such time, the police services adopts a more conciliatory and consultative atmosphere in handling HIV non-disclosure, our position remains unchanged. We will not accept donations from the Ottawa Police Service this year.
I don't blame them. I think that was very, very sound reasoning behind them.
That's the back door.
Maybe they should donate the money to the Ottawa Public Health Department to... figure out how to handle their own business.
I don't think that mother works.
That might be a better idea.
Mark's trying to get in through our back door. Somebody help him.
No comments.
Can we just leave Mark at the back door?
Someone already did that.
We tried. It didn't work.
Mark's all right. There's nothing wrong with him that, you know, 20 meals wouldn't solve.
In a row?
Yeah, at once.
He'd still be skinny, though.
All
right. From the spandex files.
Oh, no.
Oh, jeez.
Go, go, Power Rangers.
Spandex.
David Yost has ended years of speculation surrounding his sexuality by coming out as gay. And he's taken aim at the creators of the U.S. TV series Mighty Morphin Power Rangers for discriminating against him. The star who played Blue Ranger Billy Cranston from 93 to 96 and in a 1995 feature film reveals to NoPinkSpandex.com that he eventually quit the show because he was constantly harassed for being gay. For Yost, now 41, says his treatment was so bad he suffered a nervous breakdown and struggled to accept his sexuality following his departure. He says, I was called faggot one time too many by the show's creators, producers, writers, and directors. I know that my co-stars were called in a couple of times to different producers' office and questioned about my sexuality, which is kind of a humiliating experience to find that out. Yost quit Hollywood after several years following his departure, but recently went back to work and has completed a new film, Degenerate. Probably why he came out.
What was the deal about him being gay and in spandex anyway? Who cares?
Well, the fact that he was doing a kids show, he was gay. You know, I'm sorry, if you watched it back then and saw him, blonde hair, he used to wear overalls quite a bit, glasses, the nerdy one. He was hot.
It's always the nerdy ones, you've noticed?
And, you know...
But I don't get it. Could you tell he was gay in his Power Rangers suit?
Well, actually, when he was in the Power Rangers suit, 9 times out of 10, it was a Japanese performer. Because Power Rangers is a Japanese show, and the Power Rangers, when they were out of their uniforms, when they did it here in the United States, they had American actors portraying them.
Ah.
And okay. Then, but they went to the fight scenes, it was usually the Japanese performers that were in that. So they were actually all about the same height instead of, you know...
So when he was out of his Power Ranger uniforms, when he looked gay?
Yes, very much so, right there. Now, of course, because he fired the first shot, the other people in the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers have fired back. While Mighty Morphin Power Rangers Red Ranger, Austin St. John, may have done porn for a certain amateur website, we learned this week Blue Ranger, played by now openly gay David Yost, quit the show after rampant homophobia. But what's this about Yost being a pain in the ass and there being no anti-gay atmosphere on set? Scott Page Pagner, a producer of some 455 episodes, says of Yost, "I don't know what he's saying, but he was the only one no one got along with. He was a pain in the ass." And the other two,
you said, so he was a diva.
Yeah, and two other actors were also getting a bonus on top of their salary. When the other two left the show, production wanted to stop giving him a bonus, and that's ultimately what led to his departure from the show. Could money have been a factor? Sure, we all know our souls and tolerance for anti-gay environments have a price tag. Or maybe the straight guys like Paige Pachter, who aren't victims of anti-gay abuse, just fail to see what all the furor is about when they're not the victim. So many plausible scenarios. I might need Yellow Ranger's help to figuring this one out.
Okay. My kids used to watch that crap. Don't expect me to understand who's who.
No. I think you're just being cutesy on that last part.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, in a way, it's starting to sound like, especially with the first article there, you know, it sounds like I came out and I'm causing all this controversy because I have a movie coming out. I'm trying to bring back my career after 17 years.
Well, you know, there is no such thing as bad publicity in that world.
As long as they don't spell your name. As long as they spell your name right.
Yeah, let's see. As long as you're not a straight actor with a dead boy or a gay actor with a dead woman in bed, you're okay.
There's the other way around.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No. The saying goes, no publicity is bad publicity as long as you're not found with a dead girl or a live boy.
Ah, that's what it is.
And your name's spelled right.
That's the Fatty Arbuckle.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. It better be a live boy. I sure don't want any dead women in my bed.
Let's save that to go with the other one here. A couple of interesting stories have come out here about gay culture in the military. We've had a blog coming out of the West Point Academy of a closeted lesbian who's now come out. They did an article in the New York Times, and it was interesting going through this because they're talking about this secret society, basically, of these gay military students who are having to, you know, hide their homosexuality, and you know, they get break and they run off to Manhattan or, you know, New York. And
so there's a secret society, kind of like the Skulls?
Not in that sense, but like an underground society where they can be with amongst themselves.
What do they call that? The undercover lovers?
They don't have a name for it, because, you know, you have a name and then you have to have a, you know, a logo and a secret handshake, and people start finding out.
It's called the liquor cabinet.
Lick her?
The resignation this month of Catherine Miller, a top cadet who blogged anonymously about her lesbianism, has turned a spotlight on the hidden gay culture here and revived a debate on the campus about Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Ms. Miller, who wrote under the name Private Second Class Citizen about enduring gay slurs and faking a heterosexual dating history, is transferring to Yale University and has become something of a media celebrity, appearing on The Rachel Maddow Show and on ABC News.
Oh, so she's transferring to somewhere that they actually like gay people.
Right. Yeah, what happens is, from what I understand from hearing her story and all that, is when you sign up in the at West Point, it's 4-year school. After the second year, between your sophomore and junior year, you actually sign a contract with the military saying, okay, I now commit to you 10 years of my life. And after that,
forget it.
You're now responsible for paying back, you know, if you get kicked out later, you're responsible for actually, they'll try and charge you for what they paid for your education.
Oh, so it's abandon all hope, ye who enter here.
Yeah, so it got basically to the point where was going to have to sign that contract, and she said, you know what, I'm tapping out. I can't do this anymore. I'm coming out. And so
They shredded that contract and threw it in the garbage can and run her off.
Well, she announced it first, so she doesn't have to pay back those 2 years of school that she did in that first one. If she went to a third year and then came out as a lesbian, then the government would send her a bill for all of her education, which is something they do with a lot of the.
Yeah, and then they would charge her with breaking Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Because they say on here, this, you know, it's the first thing, they actually do that, like on day one, they give you a thing talking, you have to sign, talking about Don't Ask, Don't Tell.
Well, doesn't it go further than that? Isn't it Don't Ask, Don't Tell, Don't Pursue?
Well, that's the thing is, when you come out as gay, then you've broken the first part of don't ask.
Or don't tell.
So.
Yeah.
So you can check that out there. Go to New York Times, do a search for the article is called "At West Point, Hidden Gay Cadets Put in Spotlight."
I still think this whole "Don't ask, don't tell, don't do whatever the heck it is archaic and barbaric. But
well, it's just as bad as before. Before "Don't ask, don't tell," because I remember I was "Don't ask, don't tell" came out about a month after I got to my first duty station when I was in the Navy. And
did you ask? Did you tell?
I told right before I got out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
Because I was fed up with everything. And
did they bill you for anything?
Well, I didn't go to college through them.
Well, yeah, but did they bill you for anything?
Just the clothing, but that came out of my first couple paychecks.
Oh, cool.
All right. Another little interesting little story from the files of The Spy Who Loved Me. In
The
England.
Spy Who Loved Me. Anyway.
The private life of Gareth Williams, the British MI6. Yeah, we don't take phone calls during roundtable.
So drop the phone.
No. I won't even try and translate.
We don't take live.
We do not take phone calls.
No phone call here.
Can someone come here and translate that for him? Hey, they hung up. Thank you.
Yeah, they hung up when you started the slow part.
Well, you know, I work in Tomball. I'm used to have to talking a lot slower. For those of you who don't know, MI6, that's the group that James Bond works for.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Military Intelligence Branch 6.
The private life of Gareth Williams, the British MI6 operative found dead in his apartment in London this week, is currently being investigated by detectives who are attempting to discover whether he was murdered by a male lover. Mr. Williams' body was found on Monday inside a bag which had been placed in his bathtub at his home.
Was it a designer bag? Is that one they think he had a male lover?
Don't say. But, you know, then the body was feng shui.
I think it was a gym bag, actually, because I think I heard about this story.
Oh.
Mr. Williams' body was found on Monday inside a bag which placed in a bathtub. Police believe he may have lain undiscovered for a fortnight.
Ooh, 2 weeks.
Yuck.
20 days.
No, two weeks.
Score 24.
Yeah.
Mr. Williams was on a year-long posting to MI6 and was set to return to his regular job at the Government Communications Headquarters listening station in Cheltenham in the beginning of September. According to The Sun, which is a British tabloid, the 31-year-old was a regular face around the capital's popular gay neighborhoods of Vieux Cross, where the MI6 headquarters are also based, and Soho in the West End. Now, detectives have reportedly said they believe he might have had a violent row with a lover over his decision to return to the listening post. They also said they hadn't ruled out the possibility that Mr. Williams' murder could have been linked to his secret intelligence work. Security services fear that his murderer could have taken classified material possibly stored on a laptop. There was no sign of a break-in at the apartment and nothing had been stolen. His mobile phone, however, was found accompanied by several SIM cards. Detectives are now studying whether Mr. Williams' death was a result of strangulation, asphyxiation, or drugs. So here it is, The Spy Who Loved Me. Then, of course, there's the follow-up that comes after this, that Scotland Yard has had to say, he's not a poof. This is how you basically confirm murdered British spy Gareth Williams was all of these things. Scotland Yard has denied a series of sexual allegations made against Williams by security services sources who claimed that he was gay, transvestite, possessed bondage paraphernalia, and was linked to male escorts.
Oh, so he was just being British, that's all.
There was no evidence of contact with male escorts and no S&M gear found in his apartment. Claims that he was stabbed and dismembered were also untrue. He does like to wear spandex, though.
Okay, so was he murdered by a male lover or not, or is Scotland Yard just putting up smoke and
mirrors? They don't know yet. They're saying he wasn't gay, it wasn't a lover thing. They're still trying to find out what killed him.
Well, it can't be asphyxiation or strangulation, because any competent medical examiner can tell you that in 20 seconds. So,
But what you know, they have socialized medical care over in England, so you know how incompetent.
Oh, well, he may be on the morgue slab for 10 years before they get around to observing him.
Uh-huh. We had another story come out of Britain where a woman died with a, was it a toilet brush handle stuck inside of her?
Yeah. She sat the wrong way. That was a while ago.
Yeah.
We have a pillar tonight. Don't worry. We're getting to it.
Oh, my.
You know, as an aside about British medicine, one of the deals I was reading once was an American doctor was observing some British doctors doing surgery. In the middle of the surgery, they apparently looked over at the anesthesiologist and went, "Can he wait an hour?" They were in mid-cut. "Can he wait an hour?" And the anesthesiologist went, "Yeah, he's stable. Good, let's do lunch."
Oh, my God.
She said, "I didn't know whether to throw a temper tantrum, throw a screaming fit, or go to lunch with them."
Well, if they were paying, I would go to lunch.
Right? I mean...
You know, stuff like that happened. You know, there was a story I saw. I didn't make it on our list for stuff there, but I think the way that Daily Rotten had listed it was a potato potato. The woman was giving birth, and instead of an anesthetic of injecting into her spine, they injected an antiseptic.
Oh, well, that ought to be a painless experience.
Yeah, so.
Just as soon as it destroys the spinal cord, anyway.
Ooh.
A little Listerine up there. I got a couple lists here. Let me check real quick, see if I can find another quick story. I tried. Oops.
What is Jimmy digging for?
Jimmy's cleaning up his box because coming up at the top of the hour is Zydeco Pas Salé. And we want to make sure that the room is clear enough so they can come in.
Oh, yep. Cool.
And set up their equipment. Whatever.
Checking one last thing here real quick before I go into these final three stories. Nothing jumping out at me. Ooh, pornography gains a foothold in Baghdad. Well, I see something besides the insurgency is.
No, pornography's always been a big thing in Baghdad. It's just been undercover.
Yeah. Burkas. Yeah, anyway.
As a matter of fact, pornography's a big thing all through the Middle East.
Waiter, there's a condom in my soup.
All right.
Oh, my.
Was it cream of some... Never mind.
Cream of some...
Yeah, it's like another story of, you know, where... Family checked into a hotel and the kid was chewing on the used condom that was left around.
Ish.
All right, let's go into our lists here. Where in the world do tops have the best chance of finding bottoms?
Everywhere.
Well, according to the last research we had before, yeah, Houston is pretty good for that.
Yeah, just walk to a corner, throw a rock, you'll hit 20 bottoms before it hits the pavement.
And if it's a big enough bottom, actually the rock won't hit the pavement. It'll just...
Yeah. Well, if it gets close enough, it might still go...
Playing on one of our favorite...
Unless it has its gravitational pull.
Playing on one of our favorite data mining games, contact information and spit-swapping site manhunt.net follows up its previous geosex surveys with global analysis of tops and bottoms.
Never been there.
Analysis.
Which country are overflowing with pitchers and which are catchers? I'll tell you only if you can say bottom in Danish.
Bottom in Danish.
There you go.
Now, you know, here's a pretty, you know, concerning part of the joke that came into my mind with that when you're talking about pitchers and catchers. On the tops list, Dominican Republic is in there, and they're known for their pitchers.
Yep.
Unfortunately, their pitchers are really catchers in the world.
All right, according to manhunt.com. Now,
where is the most pitchers and where is the most catchers?
In the tops. Number 7, Portugal.
Catcher or pitcher?
Tops, pitcher.
Okay.
Number 7, Portugal. Number 6, Colombia. Number 5, Dominican Republic.
Yes, it is. Never been there.
Number 4, Panama.
Never been there.
Number 3, Cuba.
Never been there.
Number 2, Venezuela.
Been there, yes it is, and they're never mind.
Number 1, Costa Rica.
Never been there, but I can imagine.
Wow.
Anybody will notice that 6 out of the 7 are Central American countries.
Oh, and by the way, Jimmy.
Latin.
If you really want to...
Jimmy can't hear you.
Oh, he can't hear me?
On.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to mention to Jimmy that if he really wanted to have a good time, what he needs to do is take his manhunt.net account and go to Caracas, Venezuela, and put his age and his picture up. And about 5 or 6 20-something-year-olds will be happy to respond to him within the first 2 or 3 hours. They absolutely... Huh?
How much?
It, well, no. It's literally not for money. Oh, honey, I'm telling you, Caracas, Venezuela, if you're above the age of 30, that's where you need to go if you want to have a good time.
Let's see, any passport, airfare?
I got the passport at 4 a.m. Google it.
Chloroform, what? Oh, wait.
Mine's in my desk at home.
I have never made a trip to Caracas, Venezuela that I did not leave perfectly happy on the on my air flight.
Wow.
No, oh, if you were perfectly happy, you weren't able to sit comfortably in that chair.
The answer was mostly, but not all the time.
Well, actually, the airline seat's already
on. Number two on our list, Jimmy.
Yes.
Number two on our list. Bogota, Colombia. But be careful because they may ask for a donation when you're done. Mm-hmm. But the donation ended up being about $3 U.S.
Oh. I can swing that.
They didn't ask for money up front, and they didn't insist that you pay. But if you'd give them cab fare, they would be perfectly happy. And cab fare, when you pull out a bill and hand it to them, it looks like a huge bill. It ends up being about $3 U.S. Mm.
Again, you say you can swing that. Don't you mean you can swing on that?
Oh, baby, let me tell you something. There's a couple of them that you could have swung on. You could have climbed a tree with. You could have. you could have dug a well with.
No. I like the medium to small.
You can pick your sizes.
Okay.
You've got to realize, Jimmy, this is the same countries where you can find bananas. You can get something as big as a plantain. You can get something as big as a fingerling banana.
And the men are just like the bananas.
And I'm sure Wes
you have to peel them back a little bit.
No matter what size it is.
For bottoms.
No comments.
I love peeling them back.
But as far as bottoms go, number 7, Germany.
Oh, imagine that.
Number 6, duh, China. On that part.
Where?
China.
Oh, well, of course.
Uh-huh.
Number 5, Indonesia. Number 4, Russia.
Oh, really?
Russia?
Number 3, Malaysia.
Hmm.
2 is Taiwan.
Well, imagine that.
And number 1 is Denmark.
U.S. wasn't number 1 in there somewhere?
The United States is 52.8% tops.
I want to see every one of those 52.8%. Where in the heck are they?
Slightly overtaking the Canadians, who claim 51.01%. Unfortunately, there doesn't seem to be any data on Slovakia, where certain Lutheran pastors tend to slip up.
I still want to see the 52.8%. And I don't care about the other 47.2%. I just want to see the 52.8%.
Let me see if I can blow this up so I can see a little
blow bit. Blow what easier. Up?
And don't worry, it's not the autopilot.
Oh, that just makes it fuzzier. Two more things here.
Hit control plus again. There we go.
It's still fuzzy.
I can read it.
The 20 strangest sex laws from around the world.
Oh, boy. This ought to be interesting.
There are men in Guam whose full-time job is to travel the countryside and deflower young virgins, who pay them for the privilege of having sex for the first time. Reason? Under Guam law, it is expressly forbidden for virgins to marry.
Really?
What they didn't tell you about the 52.8%?
Yes, Robert.
They're all imports.
Oh, well, that sure explains it. But I still don't have a problem with that.
Great. You have to have sex in the metric way? Second interesting law.
I knew best sex I've had had been in metric-only countries. What are you talking about?
Most Middle Eastern countries recognize the following Islamic law. After having sexual relations with a lamb, it is a mortal sin to eat its flesh.
Well, damn, there goes my mutton stew.
Wouldn't be mutton stew. That's too old for you.
Okay.
And you too.
Mutton is the older.
And like sheep. I said, too old for you too.
Damn, veal's too old.
In Lebanon, men are legally allowed to have sex with animals, but the animals must be female. Having sexual relations with a male animal is punishable by death.
Interesting.
Okay, can we move on so far?
Hey, there's a lot of... This follows a lot of our...
pillars. Yeah.
Anywhere in the United States, it is illegal to use any live endangered species, except insects, in public or private sexual displays, shows, or exhibits depicting cross-species sex. Insectophiles apparently were successful in their lobbying efforts.
Interesting.
Okay.
In Bahrain, a male doctor may legally examine a woman's genitals, but is forbidden from looking directly at them during the examination. He may only see their reflection in a mirror.
All right.
So what is he afraid of? He's going to turn to stone if he looks at him directly?
I know I would. In Hong Kong, a betrayed wife is legally allowed to kill her adulterous husband, but she may only do it with her bare hands. The husband's lover, on the other hand, may be killed in any manner desired.
All right. Let's go to Hong Kong next time we get a cheating spouse.
In Santa Cruz, Bolivia, it is illegal for a man to have sex with a woman and her daughter at the same time.
Huh. Talk about multitasking.
Cross-generational there.
They make those videos.
So I guess that's a whorehouse rule, you know. You can't do the madam and the mistress both.
Yeah, you can't do a MILF and a GILF sandwich.
No!
In the state of Washington, there is a law against having sex with a virgin under any circumstances, including the wedding night.
Where?
Washington State.
What do you have to do? Go out of state to have sex with your...
I guess.
Well, if you're a virgin wife.
Number 9, in Cali, Colombia, a woman may only have sex with her husband, and the first time it happens, her mother must be in the room to witness the act.
Alrighty then.
I guess so she can go and tell the neighborhood that, you know...
Oh, well...
Now, how big his member is?
Let me tell you something. One of the biggest things in most Latin American countries is the night of the wedding is to take the sheets the next day and hang them out in public for display. There had better be blood on the sheet.
Yeah, to prove the virginity.
Yeah.
Number 10, no woman may have sex with a man while riding in an ambulance within the boundaries of Tremont, Utah. If caught, the woman can be charged with a sexual misdemeanor and her name to be published in the local newspaper. The man is not charged and his name will not be released.
That's kind of lopsided, but okay.
Number 11, in Rombach, Virginia, it is illegal to engage in sexual activity with the lights on.
Where?
Rombach, Virginia.
Boy, was I in...
Did they have electricity?
Was I in violation last night?
Here's one surprising. It is illegal to have sex without a condom in Nevada.
Okay, so no children are ever to be born. Got it. Let's...
It is illegal, 13, it is illegal for any member of the Nevada legislature to conduct official business while wearing a penis costume while the legislature is in session.
I just can't imagine what sponsored that law.
Boy, I can just picture it now. Every member of their legislators just standing there in a penis costume. What in the hell were they thinking?
Trust me, in Nevada... Somebody probably did, and they made a law against it.
Number 14, in Arkansas, Florida, Idaho, Indiana, Massachusetts, Mississippi, Nebraska, Nevada, New York, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, South Dakota, Tennessee, Utah, Vermont, and Washington, D.C., and Wisconsin, an erection that shows through a man's clothing is illegal.
I bet you they did that right after What's-His-Name went on TV, and you could see... Never mind. Politician.
15. No man is allowed to make love to his wife with the smell of garlic, onions, or sardines on his breath in Alexandria, Minnesota. If the wife so requests, law mandates the man must brush his teeth.
Alrighty.
Is that a misdemeanor?
Well, you know, the more you misdemeanor you get, but that's the
number 16 in Minnesota, it is illegal for any man to have sexual intercourse with a live fish. Apparently it's okay for women.
What?
Now where?
Minnesota.
Minnesota.
17. Muslims are banned from looking at the genitals of a corpse. This also applies to undertakers. The sex organs of the deceased must be covered with a brick or piece of wood at all times.
Not going to touch that one.
Number 18. An ordinance in Newcastle, Wyoming specifically bans couples from having sex while standing inside a store's walk-in meat freezer.
Great. Now I'm gonna never get that smell out of the fish.
Yeah, there goes the cold ones.
I was thinking more of Whopper.
Big Mac? Junior?
No, well, that's what comes later. After.
Number 19. The penalty for masturbation in Indonesia is decapitation.
Which head do they cut off, though?
Oh, wait a minute. Masturbation, decapitation.
Yep.
Indonesia.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And is that where they had all the bottoms?
You know, that entire country must break that law. I'm surprised any of them's left alive.
And number 20, in the hotels in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, every room is required to have twin beds, and the beds must always be a minimum of 2 feet apart when a couple rents a room for only one night. And it is illegal to make love on the floor between the beds.
How about at the foot of the beds?
Yeah, just, you know, there's a couch there, there's the bathroom, you know.
I can do a lot on a twin bed all by itself. Who cares about the other twin bed?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time...
For a pillar.
For our pillar.
Uh-oh. Is this the name?
Oh, yes.
It's a bad story.
Well, two Amish men face incest and bestiality charges in Grant County, Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Kind of cheesy there.
From Lancaster, Wisconsin, two Amish brothers are facing a string of sex assault charges, including committing incest and engaging in bestiality on a Grant County farm. The Grant County Sheriff said it's one of the strangest and most disturbing cases he's ever seen. Authorities issued two criminal complaints on Tuesday for the men. Christian G. Stolfitz, 19, of Fenimore, and Danny G. Stolfitz, 18, of Fenimore. They were the subject of a three-month investigation by the Grant County Sheriff's Department and the county's Department of Social Services. The men faced charges involving at least six different family members and multiple animals. Christian Stolzfuss was charged with repeated sexual assault of a child, four counts of first-degree sexual assault of a child under the age of 13 without great bodily harm, attempted first-degree sexual assault of a child under the age of 13 without great bodily harm, two counts of incest, exposing genitals or pubic area, and two counts of sexual gratification with an animal.
Oh.
Authorities also say they also believe these incidents occurred during a four-year period. Danny Stolzfuss is charged with two counts of incest and sexual gratification with an animal. Authorities say that they believe these incidents occurred over a three-year period. Investigators said some of the incidents occurred at an Amish farm in Hickory Grove Township. Additionally, some of the actions that Christian Stolzfuss is accused of committing are alleged to have occurred at another farm in Mount Ida Township. The authorities say the victims at the time range in age from 5 to 16 years old. The age of the victims is a concern to the sheriff. There was also some developmental issues with some of the victims. We hope their work with social services will address those things. The sheriff said that surprisingly, and contrary to the Amish culture, the family reached out for help and contacted social services. By law, the agency got in contact with the sheriff's department about the alleged incidents. How bad do you have to screw up to have the Amish pick up a telephone and call the English?
Really?
Oh, well, you realize that the very first thing they would have done is kicked them off the farm and shunned them, or at least attempted to do so.
But to
For them to call the English, yes. I can't imagine. Yeah.
And when I say the English, that's the terminology the Amish use for anyone who's not in the Amish way.
I'm very definitely English, so is Chris.
The allegations were investigated over the past 3 months. On Tuesday, charges were filed against the two brothers. I don't believe this is indicative of the Amish community here in Grant County, because through this, the family has reached out to us and accepted social services. They've also accessed mental health services to deal with this. Now, here's where it starts getting into the slippery slope downhill with this. The sheriff said the animals allegedly involved were a cow and a horse.
Okay.
The two men have not yet been arrested, and said Grant County Sheriff's Department said they will be summoned to court to face charges against them. If convicted of the charges, this is the kicker. Well, I hate to say it, this is the kicker when you're talking about this kind of stuff.
If convicted,
Christian Soulface faces more than 400 years in prison.
Damn, that's a long time.
She was.
Danny Soulface
is almost as old as Jimmy.
Yeah.
Danny Soulface faces nearly 90 years in prison if convicted.
Wow.
No. Yeah, and he just had the
what the
two
hell did
and
they
one,
do?
Right?
Incest and bestiality.
Oh.
Amish guys.
Oh.
They actually reached out to the English to do this, Jimmy.
The Amish family, when they found out about it, contacted the police.
They screwed a goat that was their sister?
No. A horse and a cow.
Okay, what's the incest part?
They also did some of their under 13-year-old relatives.
Starting at 5.
Some of them were down as 5.
5?
Now, since the fact, you know, I'm going to assume, because of knowing how, after reading enough of these kind of articles just here in the news, I'm going to assume that basically they probably did this to female family.
I assume.
Because, you know, because of the way they do sensationalistic stories on that, if it was male, they would have definitely outed them as, you know.
Oh, yeah. Right, that would have been the headline.
Yeah, so. Just like that was hitting our.
I would like to know how the community is handling that.
It'd be interesting to see, because you don't see much of that. You know,
no.
The closest you've seen with insight on the Amish, I forget what the name of it was. There was a special on Nat Geo that featured a couple of Amish kids going on Rumspringa.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And yes, it was a very good documentary.
And the one kid, you know, he went balls out for it. I mean, he was dealing drugs and taking drugs and ended up having to fleeing to Florida because he got busted with drugs, and he was helping the police nab the next higher up on the on there, and so they were out to kill him, and it was like,
yeah, but all he's got to do is make it back to the farm and they will hide him.
But no, he was hiding in Florida. He's cute too. It's one time I find overalls and a straw hat sexy.
Well, what was the name of that movie that Harrison Ford was
Witness?
In?
Witness.
Now, that was a pretty good documentary on the actual internal workings of the shunning.
Okay,
and the,
yeah. Well, we're coming up here at the top of the hour. We got Zydeco Fasale. You've probably heard them in the background.
Yep. Yeah. John John's here.
We heard them rumbling in.
Following that is Red Eye Special. If you want to get in contact with us here on the station, or you want to get in contact with one of our MBBs, set up to be one of a pen pal maybe, we love hearing from you. You can contact us at, check us out there, become a friend of ours on Facebook. It's at facebook.com/afterhours. You can also send us snail mail. It's afterhours, care of... Hold on.
KPFT.
I know, I screwed up the order on his.
Oh.
You can send us email at afterhours@kpft.org. You can send us snail mail at afterhours, care of KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard.
LOVETT, love, TT.
Houston, Texas, 77006.
Not just a zip code, but a life.
And like I said, if you want to contact one of our MBBs, if you want to send us a... love mail, hate mail, story ideas,
dirty pictures.
Yeah, my mind's not working right
now.
Which is unusual.
I'm trying to keep up here.
That's unusual too.
No, he's used to trying to keep up. We love.
He's usually trying to keep down.
Like I said, we'd love to hear from you. Contact us. Let us know what's going on.
You bet.
As we said, this is KPFT Houston. Coming up top of the hour is Zydeco Fasale, followed by the Red Eye Special. For more information on what you can find here on KPFT, go to kpft.org. Here are your PSAs. We're out of here. We'll be back next week, Labor Day weekend.
Woo! And our birthday.
Already?
God. September 6th.
We'll be here.
Be with us.
Make your gift to KPFT go twice as far. Many employers sponsor corporate matching gift programs that will match any charitable contribution made by their employees. To increase the value of your gift, contact your human resources office to see if your company has a matching gift program and obtain the appropriate form. Follow the instructions on the form and mail it to KPFT, 419 Lovett Boulevard, Houston, Texas, 77006. We'll verify your gift and notify your company. Your employer may also match your volunteer time. Ask your human resources office for eligibility requirements. Participating in your company's matching gift program is a simple yet powerful way to increase your support of KPFT without any additional cost to you. Don't delay. Get your company to match your gift to KPFT today. You are listening to commercial-free, listener-sponsored Pacifica Radio, 90.1 KPFT, Houston.
And I want to be on the local station board of KPFT to contribute to the creativity and expansion of programming to attract a broader listening audience and increase the fundraising of KPFT. The local station board would work to give input and have ongoing dialogue with Pacifica and KPFT staff to broaden the concepts and stay current with state-of-the-art programming and technology. KPFT can better serve the community by conducting regular public sessions to get input and concerns of the general public. I seek your support, your vote on the ballot. Please vote Gladys House. Again, cast your vote for Gladys House. Thank you very much.
This candidate's